You're listening to another Woodshop podcast, the okayest podcast of its type. Your hosts are Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks and Peter Kapar of Petrie's Workshop. You can find them as well as the podcast on your favorite social media platforms.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 192 of Another Woodshop Podcast, where this week we're joined by a dynamic duo, too legit to quit, and a daily inspiration to myself and Emma every single day. They took their small shop dreams and threw them into overdrive by building a brand around themselves and their many businesses. They're serial entrepreneurs and they don't know when to quit, which is a good thing because all their ideas are absolute fire. They went from a woodworking brand to a maker, content, lifestyle brand, and finally a brick and mortar. Please help me welcome the amazing Pat and Carlina. Woo!
Thank you.
You had me fired.
Welcome, you guys.
That was like the best intro ever.
I just winged it.
I bet. Anyways, I loved it.
That came from the heart. I know it.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us. You're Jersey natives. You're close to my heart. You're in the blueberry capital of the world. And we love you for that.
Hamilton, New Jersey.
That's exactly why I follow them. The blueberry content.
That's why.
It's all it is.
All
it's
about the bloobs.
And Dan, speaking of blueberries,
our patrons.
Yeah, there you go. Nothing like a crappy segue.
I don't understand the segue. But wait,
did I forget to bring up to you in a pre show that you should have all the patrons ready?
No. I got them ready.
Oh, you got them. Okay, cool.
You threw me for a loop.
Blueberries
with
blueberries. Because they're delicious and they're number one in our world.
Okay, I get it now.
Hey, there you go.
That makes sense.
All right.
As far as patrons go, we don't have any new patrons this week either. What? I don't know what's happening. But that's okay.
They're edging us. They're all going to sign up in March. I know it.
Dozens of patrons. By dozens, I mean
11.
More than 10.
A baker's
actually
dozen.
we have at least 15 VIP patrons, and I'd like to tell you about those folks now. And those 15 people are Charlie Coons of Stubby K Studio, Justin Frazier of Frazier Canyon Woodworks, Jesse McIntyre of Sage Hill Woodcraft, Gillette Woodworks, Victor Aragama, another woodshop patron from Nick Brim Woodworking.
Lovely name.
Very original name. Matt Maynard of Patriotic Pines, Bill Burkle from WTB Woodwork, welcome over at Boston Woodworks, Justin at Calvary Customs, Patrick Gensel, Michael Flickinger, Scott Shirk at Red Lake Custom Woodworks, Max and Mindy Coons from Stubby K Studio, and Lodon Herbeck. That's still, we're still doing that day, apparently.
Oh, yep. Lodon.
Load on.
We're not going to go into detail on that name. That's what it is. I said it.
And
we're moving on.
So inappropriate.
Thanks to all of our patrons. We appreciate you guys. You literally help us keep the lights on. We say this every week. If you want to join the Meh Army, as we lovingly call it, you can go over to another Woodshop Podcast on Patreon. And that would be patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast. I've corrected myself there. It was a very smooth transition.
Very smooth, Dan. So, Dan, what you're saying is, like, if somebody signs up as a new patron, they can change their name in Patreon to anytime. Be whatever silly name you want.
Yes.
Anytime, them to apparently. Read. Well, here's the yes. thing. If you're a the first three tiers, you only get to hear the name when you sign up. If you're a top tier patron, Dan will read your name every week. And this
could be dangerous.
That's all I'm going to say.
It could be.
Deal with that information what you want. But at the top tier, you get to say Lodon Herbeck every single week.
There's been a few people that have taken advantage of that. That's for sure.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Incentive to go be a VIP patron. Not the best incentive, but it's incentive nonetheless.
Speaking of the VIPs of our heart. Pat and Carly and I are here. Of Pine Baron Palette Works, Sawdust Gypsy, PB Makerfest, also known as Pine Baron Makerfest, and The Maker Handmade. You guys literally, you can't stop, won't stop.
It's Patrick's fault. I just say yes.
Just nod and smile. Just nod and smile.
Say, okay, honey, what's next?
Crazy ideas. Yes, honey. It's funny because usually it's the opposite way around. Emma just tells me the projects I need to do and I go, yes, honey. What color?
No, it's completely opposite.
I wish it was like that. That would be
Patrick goes, this is my idea. And I'm like, okay, we'll figure it out.
We always figure it out.
Sorry. So like if you're meeting someone for the first time, they didn't know who you guys were, which is crazy in our community. Give us the elevator pitch. Like who the hell do you think you are? Who is Pine Baron Makerfest? Who's Pine Baron Palette Works? Who's Sawdust Gypsy? What is Maker's Handmade? And what is PB After Dark? Which I don't know about that. I don't know. Well, maybe that's an OnlyFans. Yeah, exactly.
I want to know, what is a Pine Baron?
Oh,
Pine Barrens.
Pine Barrens
is the correct.
Oh, there's more than one Pine Baron.
It's always it's one thing, but it's plural.
We made that mistake in the very beginning, making our name by taking the S off, which we
just thought it flowed better.
Yeah, we got a lot of slack for that.
Yeah, people from the Pine Barrens did not approve of the name.
So what is that? I don't.
The Pine Barrens is a giant like forest.
Yeah,
where we live.
Yeah,
and it takes up a huge percentage of New Jersey.
But it's like, it's like if a beach met a forest, because there's sand, literally sand in the soil.
Yeah. It's like sugar sand is what we call it.
As a Nebraska guy, I was thinking of
tree.
No, we have plenty of trees here, but whenever I hear the word barren, I think of like the old fighter pilot guys in from like World War I.
Spelled with an O.
I think of my ex-wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Red Baron Pizza.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't connect that.
So it's like, because we have like, it's called like cedar water. It's like a bunch of different like rivers that flow throughout the Pine Barrens.
Yeah, it's funny.
Where we have like our little beaches and stuff like that.
There's
like
more
we have
cedar trees in the Pine Barrens than pine trees.
Yeah. So it's like a region of New Jersey.
Yes. We have like the East Coast where all of our beaches are. And then you go in like 30 minutes and it's like the Pine Barrens.
Yeah. It has its own ecosystem. It's got its own like
purification. It's insane how it all works.
Yeah. Apparently the Pine Barrens of New Jersey has the purest water in the entire United States.
Yeah. Because the cedar trees filter everything. It like filters out all the
toxins. I don't know about that.
And there's, what is it called when there's like an underground, not an
aquifer.
Underground river.
Aquifer. We have all of the Pine Barrens is like a giant aquifer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You guys might have delicious bagels down there.
We have the best water. WDDER.
Water. Well, I'm sorry. What was that word you said?
You heard it. You heard it from South Jersey.
WOODER. Water.
Yeah, but wait. How did you spell it?
WUDDER.
It's an umlaut. It's a U with the two dots.
Yes.
Water.
You're the best water. That's
all right. I feel like I like took your thunder because I wanted to know what the Pine Barrens were.
Yeah.
Tell us more about you.
Who are you? What is it exactly that you do here?
We are a team of makers. Carlina, what do you make?
Oh,
Shouldn't you know?
Wow, you put her on blast.
I was like, okay, he's got this. He's good.
Okay, so Carlina makes mosaics, like hardwood mosaics. She makes a lot of wall art. She makes a ton of hardwood, like name signs and business signs. And then I have been trying to hone my craft away from palettes, which we started with, obviously, into
Carlina's.
Is it? Is that a?
Yeah, it's
just
one
looks
of
like a gray square.
Oh, you can't tell, but it's one of your mosaics.
Is it one of the modern mosaics?
Yeah. We got out with the show last year. Sorry, I interrupted. Go on.
Love it.
Yeah. So, and then I want to mainly make like heirloom tables. So I've been like slowly slithering my way into making sure that we don't take on customs that we don't enjoy anymore.
But slithering your way.
What? I don't know what is happening.
Oh, yes, you have that one.
Oh, he went and got the thing off the wall. Okay.
I was like, what are you doing?
That's a lot better than just a gray rectangle.
It's green, actually.
It's actually olive, yes.
Olive, thank you. Yeah.
Oh, on my
I dropped my cooler of it's Greg beer. From here.
All right.
So yeah,
awkward silence.
Was great, Dan. That was awesome.
Just like, I guess it's only really a quarter of what we do is woodworking.
So yeah. So that's Pine Baron Pallet Works. That's Sawdust Gypsy. Sawdust Gypsy is this right here. This woman, she is Sawdust Gypsy. And then Pine Baron Pallet Works is the duo.
Yeah.
Well, what is just Patrick?
I don't have one.
He's the piney.
I thought we're the pineys because you say howdy pineys.
Yeah,
you guys are our
pineys. We're all pineys at heart.
At heart, what is it?
What's I'm not a piney.
You're a piney from your nose down to your hiney.
Yes,
that's I'm not a piney.
Nose down to your hiney. It's mostly torso.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all the piney you are. I guess that's only like a quarter. So like the other parts are like we have the Makers Fest, which is a Pine Baron Makers Fest, PB Makers Fest, which is a festival that we throw. Right outside of Bapsta, which is a historical village in our town, which it consists of all local and not really all local because there's people from California, Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley.
Wow, it's growing.
Tennessee. Yeah.
We have people from San Diego that come. It's really from all over.
We have a tie-dye company.
It's like mostly tri-state area and then like a few from outside of it. It's all.
Keep it down, Pete.
Sorry.
makers who make handmade items and. We have food trucks. We have axe throwing trucks. We have a chainsaw artist who does live chainsaw carving.
Yeah. So we started this. I mean, we could go on forever about this and I'm sure people already know, but if you don't know, we started this because of the pallet house fire during 2020. We built the pallet house. The pallet house was a way for us to have people come and pick up custom orders. And so we could have overstock for sale in there.
Glorified shed.
Yeah. And so the pallet house burned down. We tried to rebuild the pallet house. Our township did not want a rebuild, but everyone that follows us donated to rebuild. So in order to give back to them, we thought there's no better way than to bring all of them together. And so the PB Makers Fest was born rather than a rebuild.
Cool.
I got to be honest with you guys. I've been to that festival 2 years in a row now. You have no right being as good as you are with as little experience as you did. You guys came in at 110% year one. Like it's crazy. And then it's just gotten better. I've been to established like 10 year anniversary festivals that are like trash compared to what you guys threw together. It's mind blowing. Like every time I go there, I'm like, this is established. This is a thing. This has been here for decades. No, 2 years. Okay. Well, that's crazy. Awesome.
That means so much. I appreciate Thank that. You. It's yeah, like crazy. Cause like we wanted to do this. This was like our 5 year, 10 year goal is to be able to throw. We've been in a ton of festivals being creators. And that was how we got our start in the whole woodworking community. Like, all right, we're going to start doing markets, selling our stuff.
Right.
And
as like, most people do actually.
Yeah. We were like, okay, we love them. How do we do this? What was his question? We went to this one festival and he's like, Carlina, like, how do we do this? Can we do this? I'm like, you're crazy.
Yeah. She looked this at me like, takes I was an army. Wild.
There's no way we can do this. So at that festival specifically, we started collecting business cards of vendors that we love their aesthetic, their setup, what they created, the vibe they gave us, how they treated us when we were in their booth. And we hand selected all of these people. And over from, I guess that was from 2020 or 2019 to 2021 after the house burnt down. He's like, let's take this money from the community that we're in and the woodworking community that has supported us since day one. And let's give back to them by throwing this festival and inviting all these people who we love and we love what they've done and created and throw the Pine Baron Makers Fest.
Yeah. It gave them a reason to get out after the pandemic.
Yeah.
It gave everyone a reason to like, finally, like, you know, I don't know, literally step foot back on grass.
Yeah. And interact outdoors with people. And we kind of just took notes because we did a lot of festivals over the last 3 years and we were doing a bunch of different ones. So we kind of picked like what we loved and what we didn't love and like, how do we create our own version of that? And with Patrick's crazy ideas and my last minute finding different designs, we threw together the Pine Baron Makers Fest.
Yeah,
that was great. And you got food trucks and other vendors. And like we just because of scheduling, we've always arrived on Sunday. Because it was always Saturday, we were always slammed.
I've never been.
And Dan,
show up.
We have Dan, a big piney party.
Trying to make it out.
We have a piney party Saturday night. Come show up. You can camp. in a corn maze. Oh,
what did Patrick say? Did you just say we have a corn maze?
No, I said we need a corn vendor.
A corn vendor.
I'll tell you what, your people get with my people, and we can probably work something out.
Blueberries and corn.
His people is just, it's Dan.
Yeah.
Me and the three guys standing behind the screen.
Here's the thing. I remember the first year we came, we showed up on Sunday and you guys were like making excuses for it. You're like, oh no, it's not as like, it was so much more livelier yesterday. Honestly, a bunch of vendors sold out, so they're not here again. We had like 30 whatever vendors. Now it's only like 18. I'm like, this is bigger than most vendor shows we've been to. Like your Sunday, whatever was left event was bigger than most vendor events I've gone to. Like you guys really sell yourself short.
It was crazy like seeing it grow within a year. Cause like, so we started with like Saturday was 60, Sunday was 40.
Or 60,
and then last year we hit 108. We had 108 vendors.
But then we had to postpone it because of
and then we had Hurricane Ophelia. Because of the hurricane, so we lost.
Oh, that's 13. Right.
Yeah, so
I went to a craft fair last year. I was like an extra vendor. I think, it was. So Braden from Little Bug Woodworking actually set up the booth, and I was just like an add-on to his booth. But it was like a horse themed fair. There may have been like 10 vendors. I mean, this thing was so like low key. We got drunk the last 2 hours. So 18 is actually really good. And if you're looking at that as like, oh, this isn't as good as it could be, like you should be patting yourself on the back. That
you're
is fantastic.
Well into double digits. Also, your food vendors sell out. That's how well it does.
And we had quite a few. I think when you were there, we had like only 5 or 6.
The first year was 5. Last year, I think we had 9.
Yeah, but the second day, I think there was only like 4 or 5 trucks. And a pizza truck sold out by like noon. They were done.
Oh, they were so good.
Pizza. We had a cupcake that sold out 3 times. She left her husband there just to monitor the booth while she went home and made more cupcakes.
Oh, okay. I thought she like got a divorce. Like she left her husband. I made a killing. I'm out. I'm done with you. Take the kids.
Jeez. I'm taking this money and I'm out.
This year, we're trying to figure out some different things. Maybe like a nature walk because it's all like, so it's surrounded by the Pine Barrens, which is all a wooded area, and then a blueberry field. So it's like literally the definition of Hamilton. And we're trying to like figure out maybe a different way like to create a nature trail. We had a live chainsaw carver last year, which he killed it. He just live chainsawed all day long.
You had bees this year.
The bees were, don't get me started on the bees.
I don't know what happened with that.
Look, if you
shut down the lemonade stand, I heard that.
Yeah. If you're near a cornfield and you want to do a corn maze, give me a call.
There's one diagonal to us. We thought about it, actually.
Wait, I'll be the corn maze bee guy, though.
You want to hear about the bee guy?
I want to hear about the bees because I heard it shut down the lemonade stand.
It shut down the barbecue truck. It shut down the lemonade stand. And it shut down the, what was it, pastries or something? They had a little trailer.
Oh, yeah.
So they all shut.
No bees next year?
So the bee guy was... He has his own hives. He brought his own hive. And then he had a box, a bee box, which is like, it's pretty much a box with netting or
a beet box.
Yes. Yeah, so he would walk in it.
Boots and cats.
Oh yeah. I can't beatbox.
So he would walk in there and then do a bee beard where he'd like coat his face in honey and like bees would just like stick to his beard and stick to his face. And he had this massive bee beard and he would do it every hour on the hour or every 2 hours or something. Well, it stirred up a local hive.
Which every blueberry farm has a local hive to help pollinate with the...
Oh, no.
So they came over pissed off, like territorial, or I don't know what happens with bees.
Oh, there was a bee gang fight?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So
this is a bee beard.
That looks...
Isn't it just a beard?
So are they... Oh, I see what you did there.
I'm signing off. Yeah, so they did that. It got traction. It did so well. And then like near the end of the day,
because Saturday was fine. And then Sunday was 80 degrees hot.
Those bees started swarming. they went into the lemonade truck and just decimated it.
Oh my god.
Like had to go get turf war and shut it down. And like,
yeah,
it's one of my really good friends who owns a lemonade stand. So I was like, all right, we're shutting everything down. Let's wipe everything down. We'll get
we brought out generators and giant and, like, industrial fans to, like, blow them out. Because
it got like, okay, who's allergic? Smoke. If somebody gonna get stung.
We bought out one of the
local homesteaders.
Yeah, the homesteaders of all of their sage
incense.
So we can smoke out.
Oh, really?
So we're just like sage seance everywhere. Like,
seancing. Yeah.
Get rid of the bees. And it worked.
Here's the crazy thing. Like, you never think about this if you're like, oh, I'm going to throw an event together. Like, no. Oh, yeah. You sell local honey and do demos? Sure. Why not? And then you got. Yeah. Suddenly you got to, like, you shut down three other vendors because, like, your bees get a little aggressive.
Yeah. They were only shut down for like 15 minutes. We solved it, but it was like, oh no.
Oh, that's, you guys were busy when it was quiet when we were there. So to see you in a catastrophe, I don't want to see it.
I was I'll be right back. Gotta go handle a bee situation.
What do you mean a bee situation? Like, I'll explain later. Run away.
I love the idea of
you. Thanks for coming. Gotta go.
I love the idea of a bee turf war.
Yeah, so that's that. We throw the Pine Barren Makers Fest now because of the fire, and it's been a blast. We love doing it. We start scheduling it and like getting applications and getting people in and jurying all the vendors that are going to be in it around 8 months beforehand. And it always falls the third weekend of September or the third weekend of September.
We always start like right after New Year. We give ourselves till New Year's and then we open up applications.
It's always our wedding anniversary. Thanks.
Yeah, it's always on Pete's wedding
anniversary. It's like they don't even care.
On purpose.
They don't care. Like, they don't care. They just, they're like, oh, we're going to throw it when it's convenient for us. Well, you know what? Forget you guys. Whatever.
Well, so what I figured is.
Forget you then.
As long as you remember our festival, you won't forget your anniversary.
It's a legal loophole. Stop it.
It's always the week before my birthday, so my birthday doesn't count anymore, so it's fine.
Yeah,
we're working.
So like this event is, first of all, that's like, I feel like that was a very very humble description of what you guys do, because like when I talk about you guys being like a lifestyle brand and everything, like you guys are just cool AF. like, people want to be you. You're the couple to be. Like, you make me and Emma feel inadequate as a husband and wife power couple.
I look
like
at both of you and I'm like, oh, gold.
Last year after Workbench Con, you guys came up here because we drove all your total boat up from
Workbench
Con 2 years ago. That's right. We held it hostage. And you guys drove up and we had this, like, you were telling us all the things you were doing. I'm like, please God, stop. Like, slow down a little bit. Cause you guys are gonna tap out too early. And you're still going strong. You guys are not stopping. When you were moving your shop, we helped you out. Like, just watching you guys do stuff is just absolutely incredible. And it blows my mind to watch you. Like, I know I'm working on all these nine things, but I have a 10th thing that I got to work on. And the biggest thing, I thought, like, you're.
What are you saying, Pete?
Yeah, like, Pine Barren Maker Fest was like this mad. Like, I can't believe they threw a show together, like a vendor event. And then they went and opened up a brick and mortar when everyone was running away from brick and mortar. And you guys are killing it.
Yeah. So the brick and mortar kind of happened by accident. We've always wanted a bigger shop, but while we were planning the Pine Barren Makers Fest the first year, we were going around to different breweries to try and like bring them in. We wanted a beer garden.
Because they're makers themselves. We have three local breweries we'd love to have involved in it.
Yeah. So we stopped at one of the local ones in town. And as we were walking by, we saw the building we're in now. And we were like, wow, like, you know how we talked about having a store and we talked about having a giant wood shop behind it that we could, like, it would all be one cohesive thing. I was like, this is the only spot in our town on the main road that it's even possible to have it. And I was like, but the business that's been in there has been in there for 73 years.
Yeah, I was like,
so it's like
my grandparents.
Look how cool it looks from afar, but that's as far as we're going to get. We mentioned it to her dad. Her dad went out to dinner that night, mentioned it to the bartender that was serving them. That bartender co-owns the restaurant with the landlords here. So all within like 48 hours, we found out that the people that built this building in 1950 were moving out in 2 weeks and it was going to be available. And we were like, what?
Yeah.
Like that's the most small town crap that I've ever heard in my life.
Written in the stars, you know, it was like,
that's when you know you have to jump on something. Cause like, how is that happening?
Yeah.
It's like Powell House burned down. Because the Powell House burned down, we threw the festival. Because the festival happened, we started going around handing out flyers. Yeah. Because of that, we found our new wood shop.
Yeah. It all happened. Like,
it all was like in a line.
So like, not that I wanted the Pallet House to burn down, but if it wasn't for all of that, we might still be sitting in a one car garage in my parents' backyard.
Thinking like, here's our 10-year plan, throwing a festival. We're always going to be stuck in this two car or 1.5 car garage.
So you're telling me I just need to burn down my current shop?
No one said fire. Is it electrical fault? Is the word we're using for insurance purposes? Everything was up to code.
It was damn Amazon lights.
Twinkle lights.
Twinkle lights. Don't get
those. Throw out your twinkle lights.
What are they? They're teardrop lights.
Yeah.
Do not get the copper teardrop lights.
Because they're sad lights. They're teardrops. Yeah. You want happy lights. You want smiley lights.
They light fires.
They lit our palette back on.
Oh my God. What a bummer. Yeah. But what a journey too. Like you guys going from like literally the lowest point you thought you've had.
Yeah.
To some of the biggest challenges you've ever had in your life. And then to honestly, you guys have peaked and you're not done. You're still setting up.
It's still crazy,
setting up shop.
Like, yeah.
We sat and watched. So it was 1:30 in the morning, 1:15 in the morning when the Powell House is burning down. Like we're standing in like the pathway, which was like a cute little path we created through the woods. And I'm like crying. And Patrick's like, you're fine. Like, this is not the end of this.
I was like,
this is just the beginning. So
I don't
like,
know why
we have
that
a
came
lot
over me
coming or... for us and let's just keep moving. And I was like, who the fuck do you think you are? This is like, it's like the saddest moment of my life. We spent 2 years building this thing.
I was like,
and
get over it. We got shit to do.
He's like, I want you to know, like, this is not the end. We're going to keep going. And it just like completely changed like my whole mentality. And then like, it was just like, okay, this is what we're doing next. This is how it's happening. The town's trying to shut us down. Nope, they're not. We're going to keep going. We're going to do this and that.
Yeah.
And
that's a great outlook. I mean, especially when you're at what feels like the bottom and you're just like so consumed with all these negative feelings and like you don't think that there's anywhere to go. And
yeah,
you've made this out of that. It's inspiring.
He just said it and I was just like, all right, let's get it going. What's next?
It is just
all right.
Time to pick up
your britches and let's get going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was out of your control. Listen, if that's what had to happen for you guys to be where you are today, not that I wish that on you, but like
I wish that on everybody.
In a way, I'm glad it happened because
I hope everybody's pallet house burns down.
No one was hurt and it's brought nothing but good to you guys and the community and the local community, physical community around Hammond. Like you guys are, you know, it's a blessing for both you and the community, basically.
Yeah. And like if it wasn't for like our like local community in Hamilton and especially the woodworking community, we like as much as he said that, it was literally the woodworking community that helped us get through all of this.
Yeah.
There you go.
It was crazy. Like everyone rallied together.
I'll say this like day and day, like between everybody, especially like Andrew from Cold Brew Woodworking Co. Like he showed up the day after at 8 a.m.
Yeah, he's a great dude. We've had him on the podcast.
Yeah, we did.
I've said this from, he's the reason why we are not in a hole today because he showed up. He called me and was like, I don't care if Patrick says he's fine. I'm coming. I need you to know I'm going to be there at 8 a.m. He showed up. We were in bed.
8 hours, like I think he started driving at like 2 a.m.
And he showed up and was like, I'm here. And he's like, get your ass out of bed. Let's go in the wood shop. And he made us work that whole next day. And we built things. We worked on things in the shop. And it was literally the best thing that could have ever happened to us.
Yeah. He's a good dude. Love that dude. So awesome. Good. And see, this is why the community is like, I talk about the community being like the biggest thing to lean on. And even just, I mean, this week I had, I got something in my eye and I scratched my cornea from cleaning up my shop. And the amount of people that reached out just for a simple, stupid little like, hey, my eye hurts. I can't see through it right now. Yeah. And I'm always like, hey, I've had this issue. Try this. Or, hey, I'm so sorry to happen. It happened to me. You're going to be okay. It just takes a few days. Whether it's messages or somebody coming out to help you out or whatever, like the community is where it's at. Like I actually, you know,
I said, Pete, suck it up.
He did. Well, he didn't mention what I said. I messaged him and I said, it's well, too bad it wasn't both eyes.
Oh, because it was rude. But like the community is, it truly is there, whether it's through comments. Sometimes you hop on a phone call with a friend. Sometimes it's, they show up in person, help you out. And like, it, this community is amazing. And you guys are really, you define what it is to be at the center of a community of something, and the maker community, and not just Jersey, but online in our makerspace that we have on Instagram and YouTube and TikTok, whatever, especially Instagram. Like you guys are kind of at the core of it. You're there. Like people rally around you. They want to see you succeed. And it's freaking amazing. I love watching you guys just blow up.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Yeah, I got you.
What do you think, Dan?
Dan?
I'm just wondering if like if he's getting paid to say that.
Yeah, I paid him before the show.
You're a BFF.
You know, like there's certain people in a community you just like you want to, and I very openly, to get real here. I talk about sometimes like you see people succeed and you're like your first gut reaction, your primal reaction, as I call it, is like, I do that too. You know, like, well, how come they're, that's the primal reaction. The real reaction is like, that's freaking awesome. How can I help?
I feel that's like that's most of
that's the a real reaction.
Especially the woodworking community. It's insane. Like I've never felt so more of a support behind my back. If I need anything, questions,
yeah,
what we went through, like anything at all. I'm like, he's gets stumped in the shop. I'm like, post it on your story. Post it on your story right now and see. You'll get an answer
like that. Like
I'm like, someone will have an answer for you. Just post it and see who answers.
That IG Google. And I'm like, hey, how do you guys finish with shellac? Whatever. Like 10 minutes later, I got 20 comments.
It does help that we have a following, all of us.
Yeah. So,
but you can just reach out to pretty much any of us, no matter how big of a following you have, and just be like, hey, what do I do? I answer questions all day long to smaller accounts and like people that have been following us for years and
or just getting started,
reaching out, like asking questions. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to ignore you. Like, granted, it takes up a lot of our fucking time, but
it does. But we were there 5 years ago.
But I was there. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was there less than 5 years ago. And like, I still feel like I'm there in reality, like mentally, I still feel like I'm there. So I don't want to ever shun anyone away. I always want to give information and I still have no fucking idea what I'm doing. So I'll try and give as much.
I think that tracks for all of us. Yeah. We're all just grown adults trying our best.
Yeah. If I want an answer to a question, I'll usually post the wrong information. And then I get the correct answer immediately.
Look at this walnut. Well, it's clearly maple.
Because of the internet. You know?
That's my tactic.
Community.
Right. So I want to grill you guys a little more. Like we do what's on a bench or whatever. Like I don't think we're gonna have time for this.
I can do my what's on the bench real fast.
Is it bow ties?
Etsy orders.
Ooh, this guy. New stuff every week.
That's different.
I know, so, right?
I think let's do this. Let's go through our questions that we got because we got a lot of questions for you guys. And then if we have any questions after that, we're just going to keep going with that. Okay. There's some good questions to kind of get the ball rolling. So why don't we start with who do we got here? Oh, you know what? Nick Pachi called in. But before we have Nick Pachi's question, Jack Pachi. Or Pacha also called in his son, and he says,
"What's up, Pineys?"
Oh, so cute.
He said, "What's up, Pineys?" Oh, that kid is so cute.
How old is Jack?
Hi, Jack.
He's 17.
27 years old.
He's older than me. Wow.
No, Jack is like, I think he's like 3. He's so cute.
Yeah,
I remember when he was born.
Yo, I remember him at Maker Camp with boots that don't fit him. He was in a stroller. Oh, so cute. So cute. But then the older, less interesting Nick Pache called.
Yeah,
he got this question.
Hey guys, Nick from the Working Grain. So I got a question for Pat and Carlina tonight. One of my dreams is to be able to expand my shop space so that I could build essentially any project I want to without dimensions getting in the way. And seeing as how you guys did that, it's been great to see the work and time and effort you've put into turning that place into what it is today. And I just wanted to reach out and say congratulations. It's paying off because that place is awesome. On top of that, Makers Handmade, it's just been great to see the positivity and success that you guys have had in that space. And again, congratulations. You know, it's really cool to see you guys doing what you're doing. My question comes in, which came first? Was the plan for a retail store and the shop ended up coming about through that? Or were you planning to expand the shop and just decided to jump into the venture of a retail location? Yeah, excited to hear the story and hope you guys have a great night.
All right. What do you guys think?
Good question.
It's like, I guess like every time Patrick says something, it's like that whole manifestation thing that's going on right now.
Manifest destiny.
Yeah. Like it happened. So
not so much, Dan.
We were in bed one night and it had to be like.
Oh, don't go. Keep it PG. This is a PG-13 show.
Maybe it was 2020 and he was like, what is your dream?
And he was on top. And
calm down.
He was like, what is your dream workshop? I was like, I don't know. I was like, something bigger. We can have like a nice little spot for an office. And he was like, what are your thoughts about like a storefront? And then like, we grew up going down the boardwalk because we're only 20 minutes from the shore. And it's like, you go to the taffy stores and it's like, you get to watch the taffy and everything getting made through the window.
Oh, I thought you said tacky stores. Because there's also tacky stores down the shore.
The taffy, you know, with the hands.
Yeah.
And he's like, what is your thoughts about, like, we had a storefront and then we had this big window and you can look through it and you see our whole wood shop. So it's like the same idea, but woodworking. And I was like, damn, that'd be so cool. Like, that doesn't exist anywhere. Like, how is that possible? And then while the festival was happening, like you mentioned, we are outgrowing our space at the same time, but we're still making it work. And we passed this place and he's like, this is probably the only place if we ever wanted to have something in town where we can have
a wood shop. I'd like to give a shout out to, Onefinity and Thunder for helping us outgrow our space.
Yes.
Just putting that out there.
That's right.
And they helped.
They helped us for sure outgrow the space.
And we looked in the window and Patrick's like creepily looking and I'm like, people might be in there. Don't do that. But it was like the only place where we saw where there could be a storefront and a wood shop on the corner of a street next to a brewery. So it doesn't really matter about noise. And that's kind of just how it all kind of happened. And then, like we mentioned before, we found out who the owners were. But I guess it was outgrowing a wood shop first to answer the question.
And yeah, in my mind, we never planned on having a storefront.
Yeah.
It was never a plan. I always, in my head, I was always like, okay, if we could have a big wood shop with a little showroom where you could pick colors and pick,
because
I want to make tables, you know? So you could pick table legs and you could pick a base and you could pick whatever finish you want and whatever type of wood you want. That was always the goal. And then this happened instead. And I think it was a mixture of throwing the Pine Barren Makers Fest and having all this access to all of these amazing handmade vendors. And we were like, the hardest part of our job since we started was promoting ourselves, like getting ourselves out there. So I thought, like, if we can have a space to where we can just help promote small businesses that we believe in, like, that would be perfect. So that's kind of how Makers Handmade was born. Like, rather than just having our stuff in there, we brought in a leather guy that's in the festival. We brought in a macrame artist that's in the festival, a concrete pot artist that's in the festival.
Digital artist.
How do you smoke that?
Well, that's a lot of concrete pot. You just grind it up.
Oh. It's tough, but you figure it out.
No, but it's so I guess we didn't really have a plan for either one. Neither one was supposed to come first.
It was like an idea that naturally we happened, dreamt sure. about, but never thought ever would come to light. And then seeing a bigger wood shop and seeing like, okay, this could be possible. We are outgrowing our space. Could we afford it right now? No. Can we figure out how to make it work? Let's do it. And let's just, what are the odds that this is falling into our lap right now at this time? There's, it's, like we have to say yes. Let's just make it happen.
Take the leap or just
or quit. Stay in our little garage. And thankfully we took the leap and with Patrick's balls, and I have none. I'm just like following along.
They're small.
I'm just yes, honey, we'll find a way to make it work.
It seems to me like when you guys were looking, you were looking for a bigger wood shop space though.
We really weren't at the time. I mean, in our dreams, we were like, oh yeah, we'd love to have one. Like all of us are saying every single day, I wish I had a bigger shop.
Yes.
So it's like,
I wish I had a bigger shop. I wish I had a bigger truck. I wish I had bigger hands.
I wish I was taller. I wish I was a baller.
So it looks bigger.
But it's like we drive around in like different towns. Like when we would go through like towns advertising for the festival and stuff, he's like, that would be a perfect wood shop. And it's just like us dreaming. Never thought that this would actually be our wood shop of what it is now.
For some reason, I always had a dream of a wood shop like in a downtown area. And I have no idea why.
Because you can go out and get like a quinoa burrito right around the corner.
Yeah.
Because it's a bunch of lunch at the brewery.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, no.
You want to be in with Howl. Oh, they don't? Oh.
No,
not New Jersey.
So we have to walk across the street, which is like super hard. For the best
in this economy,
heaven. Yeah.
Just watching you guys go into that space, like where it was in the, we kind of talked about this on a pre-show, watching the moving in tour, and then watching you guys like change literally the height of the ceilings and the little like office, the walls getting closed up, it getting painted. The window getting put in, the front shop getting refinished, like the storefront. Like, you guys did a lot of work to that space. It wasn't just like, we moved into a space and it's ready. But, like, you put in a lot of work.
And it's not just the work you put in. I mean, you're not buying that building. And this is a monthly investment because you're leasing, correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate myself every day. Yeah.
I'm not trying to say that, but like,
no, but it's
a lot of people have these ideas, but they don't realize, you know, the investment that goes into it. I mean, it's a huge investment.
Yeah. Yeah. We took a huge chunk of our savings, took out a small loan to like renovate and do all that stuff. And cause I have this vision and I don't want to half-ass it. That was like my biggest thing. I was like, if we're going to do it, we're doing it right the first time. I don't want to like do it mediocre. That's kind of how I always end with everything. Hence
the Makers Fest
festival and everything. Like if I'm going to do it, honey, I'm fully sending it like to the point where I'll sell it.
Olsen, baby.
Yeah.
He is like that. And like every now and then I'll have my ideas and he just full sends mine equally. Like he has all the ideas. At the end of the day, Patrick has this brain of his.
I'm on the spectrum, like the rest of us.
We all have it, but he is
got a rhythm with the tism. That's fine.
He's got it, man. And I've always trusted in him, no matter what. And I'm always
I never like, got checked, but I'm.
It's fine. It's we're woodworkers. We're on a spectrum like that. There's a trend for you.
I get it.
We all got something.
So I'm gonna flip your concept around though, because you guys are like, I got a lease or I got a a monthly payment. I hate it, but like, I want to flip it around because a lot of people, myself included for a while, was like, the only option is you build or buy, you build a shop or you buy a shop. Like the fact that you can rent out a space, you can make it your own. Cause I've talked to people that are like, well, what do you mean you can customize it? Like, no, you're renting a space. You can buy a warehouse and build it out. Yeah, it's out of pocket for you, but like your landlord's just going to let you do it as long as it's within spec or whatever. Like that is an option. So like it's having that monthly payment or the lease or whatever. Like that's scary because you don't own it and you're investing a lot into a property you don't own. But at the same time, it's a low cost of entry for people that want to do it that are nowhere near buying or building, but can afford rent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the space itself, being in the space we are, was the real reason I was willing to drop the amount of money that we did on the renovations. Knowing that we're never going to get that back. You know what I mean? We just upped the value of this property. The property hasn't been renovated since the 50s. So I'm okay with that though, because we've created such a beautiful space for customers and people to attend.
And we hear it daily when people walk in. Like, that's what makes it all worth it. Is like, and, wow, like, what about this space? This space is amazing, what you guys have done.
So we did a lot of crunching numbers to try and figure out, okay, how much do we have to make in the store in order to pay for our bigger wood shop? Right. Because that's, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, if the store can pay for the bigger wood shop, then the stuff that I build in the wood shop could make us money.
This is gravy.
And yeah, so like, the store has so far, every month, including January, which we all know how that is,
right?
It's paid for. It's paid for the rent.
The bills, amazing
utilities. So yeah.
Everything else.
Don't get me wrong. A store is not easy to run. Like, inventory is insane. Like, having to shop inventory, especially like not normally. Like, you can't just like go online and buy inventory.
Like plants, for example.
Plants, you can, but
no, but still, like, but that's dealers, that's like, volatile inventory right there.
Oh, before we go much farther, I want to know more about the store. What do you sell in the store? So tell me more about that.
In the store, we sell some of my products, some of Carlina's products, which are I sell tables, like I was saying,
just overstock of stuff that we've created and like wanted to try out and just like made. Random when I have time, I'll make a random mosaic or make some like signs with the laser. And then we pulled in some local vendors, macrame artists, yeah, digital artists.
Festival helped a lot.
Yeah. The concrete artist who does like the pots and like the catch-all trays and stuff like that.
When she says digital artist, we have like an artist that creates all of our postcards, all of our stickers.
Some people who do prints.
We have another artist that digitally designs like temporary tattoos that look real.
Yeah, she does like henna tattoos. Awesome,
you know, like,
she does all of them on like on her
not henna tattoos. They're temporary. So, temporary.
Yeah.
And do you guys do it as a consignment? Like you're paying, you're collecting a fee, and then
no, the number one thing I didn't want to do was have to deal with that strictly because of the POS system and all the organizing behind the scenes.
Taxes and all that
stuff. Dealing with taxes and stuff.
We buy everything in that store we own. We buy wholesale.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. That's good to know.
Which sucks in the beginning, but once you have it and you have consistent flow, then it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. But there was no way, like there wasn't even an option doing.
I worked for all that. Through college, down the shore in Ocean City, I worked for a consignment store. It was an art shop, but they did consignment with other artists. And I watched what she went through and it was a lot monthly.
Yeah.
And I did not want to deal with that. I helped her do all of that with taxes and paying everybody out. And I was like, that's not something that I want to do if we're going to do a storefront with other vendors.
Now, don't get me wrong. If we were only doing a storefront, that's not a bad idea. But between woodworking and custom orders and renovating a shop and renovating a storefront and the festival and the other stuff that we haven't talked about.
I got to say,
though, is there something you're going to drop on us?
Maybe.
Oh, we'll get to it, Dan. But like you guys, you know, like I'm so glad you said no consignment because like that's one of the things that scared me away from like product based locally. Yeah. Cause like a lot of it is just, it's very inconsistent and unknown investments now, on the part of the artist. So you guys actually saying, hey, I'll buy a wholesale. They might sell for a little less in bulk, but yeah, they're selling a batch. That's really investing in those artists, those local people as well. That's amazing. And
we've hand selected. It's not just anyone. Like we've picked who we think would do well in our town with based off the demographic. And
this is why you haven't gotten back to me. Okay.
Table saw inserts don't sell, Dan.
I'm not going to do well in Hamilton.
I got miter saw inserts as well. Come on, guys.
I think I have one.
You probably do. But yeah,
I think I sent you one.
It's in the box.
I think I have one.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that is a great. I mean, and we're gonna get. We have some other questions about around this the shop itself.
Well, I got more questions, bro. Why are you trying to shut me down?
Let me hear them.
Anything? We people that literally dialed a phone or typed an email.
They didn't dial a phone.
Yeah, but Dan had to show up.
That's a lot. It's asking a lot did, every week.
Actually,
not all heroes wear capes.
My last question. Okay, and this is something different for me. I usually don't have a lot of questions, but I have a lot of questions for you guys. My last question.
How?
I'm nervous.
So you're leasing the space or renting the space. You don't own the space. Mm-hmm. And you dropped all that money in renovating it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me like another person that might be interested in doing something similar. Did you negotiate that with your landlord or whoever is in charge, your property management company? Or is that something you just kind of like did?
So we negotiated a little bit. I think it was first month was free. And then a couple months after that were lower, but it wasn't like, it wasn't.
It didn't offset it.
No, not even like 4%.
The way we looked at it though, was like, we go to spaces in around here specifically because of the aesthetic that they give us.
Yeah. I drive we to a space.
Go somewhere 45 minutes away, an hour away because of the aesthetic and like what they give us. And we want to be that for other people. So it was worth us dropping the money or how much money we dropped into the storefront to know that people are going to consistently come to us because of how they like the way we make them feel when they walk into our store.
So you looked at it like an investment in your business and not so much as an investment in your landlord's property.
Exactly.
Yeah. As weird as it sounds like it, I feel like it's more of a psychological thing when it comes to the customers coming in.
Like, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
It makes absolute sense.
I figured if it looks like shit, you're coming once. If it looks great, you're going to show up probably once a month, especially because there's a brewery.
And tell your friends about it. Be like, I've been to this place, you know, like it offsets in our eyes, at least.
It offset all the costs. And I mean, not financially, but in my heart.
But financially, as far as we've had reoccurring customers come that, weekly.
I think that's a great way of putting it. Like it's an investment for the eye candy for customers, other woodworkers, people that are going to consistently keep showing up. That's a return on investment. It's one of those things where, like, you know, when people buy a laser, they go, it's going to pay for itself in 3 years. I swear, honey, like I bet you, like, you know, like they're trying to justify it. But if somebody buys a planer, no one's saying it's going to pay for itself in 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's a planer. You need it. It's just going to improve your workflow.
It's funny you say that because so our first laser was a Glowforge and I bought it without asking. And
they're still together, everyone. They're still together.
Hey. It works. But I bought it, what, a month before Christmas? A month and a half?
We got it on Halloween.
Okay. Happy Thanksgiving.
So, yeah. So my goal, I told her, I was like, we can pay this off.
He said 6 months.
In less than 6 months. If we start right now from the time it gets delivered, because this is peak. This is the peak right now. And we paid it off by what? January?
Mm-hmm.
And we got it in October.
Mm-hmm.
So like less than three.
Yeah. They're like $5,000.
Yeah. They're not cheap. They're not
but
cheap.
I only put the money towards that. Like, yeah.
I kept a whole spread Excel sheet.
Yeah.
And I
was like, so yeah, once we saw that we could pay off a laser in 3 months, that was like $5,000. We were like, oh.
And now, like, with the following that we have, like, everybody sees kind of what we're doing. So it was like, they're going to see this. They're going to come. Hopefully, people, like, it's the same with the festival. We have such a good following.
If you build it, they will come. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Exactly.
You're also going to feel better about working in that space. Like, you guys don't have to fight over the workstations or space or tabletops or whatever. There's more than enough room for you guys to move around in there, which is incredible. I mean, that space is massive. I've been in it and I was just like,
oh, weird flex. Okay.
Oh, just all like wide open eyes and mouth. Like, whoa, this is insane.
Whoa, I could live here.
Dan, it's the equivalent of 5 living rooms. Dan has 4 living rooms in his house.
Three.
Four if you count the shop.
Oh, that like, corn.
Eh, three and a half.
It really is like it's the you know, when you move into a space where now you, because here's the thing, time is money, and if you're spending time maneuvering crap around your shop so that you can like, oh, let me move this project I'm drying because I need to use a miter saw to then use the miter saw, but then you have to move that piece back. That's time. Time is money.
Time is money.
If you have the space to spread out in and work on multiple projects and dry stuff, and you guys have a spraying room or epoxy room, you know, like it all literally saves you money by saving you time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was like a big, like, selling point to us signing the lease here, because we were actually in the middle of our Dexter kill room, which we called it when we set up all of our plastic on all of the cast iron, every tool, every laser, every single chop saw, because we each have a chop saw that was mandatory when we first started.
His and hers.
Weird flex.
Very nice.
Yeah, we have a his and hers for sure.
Workstation.
But yeah, so we were in the middle of our Dexter kill room and we were spraying, I think, a 9-foot table and a 5-foot mosaic and like 3 floating shelves and something else. And we were like, that's it. We sprayed. Now let's leave for 3 days. Like, yeah. You know, like don't walk in here.
And we had to wait till we had at least like 3 projects to like justify, let's shut down for a week to 2 weeks to spray every other day. And it's just like, it didn't make any more sense.
Between the humidity and like just everything, it was a constant battle. And then if I did get an order that was like a 9-foot table or an 8-foot table, that was it. Like usually, like that's what we do. We're working on that only because there's no room for a 3 or 4 foot mosaic or a business sign or something else that we should be working on as well. It's just this right now. So let's batch it out, get it out, and try and start working on the next project. So we kind of reached our max and we were like, okay, like this is it. Like
I'm surprised you guys lasted as long as you did. So I was fortunate enough to see the shop literally on the last week. What?
You're just a pervert. Like, what was that? We last a long time.
It lasts a long time. Oh, yeah. Maybe not. Well, I'm not going to make the joke. Okay. But gone? Like, realistically, like I walked into that shop. We get there and I'm like, how the f- did they work in this shop? It literally was like, how did they fit? How, where, like, because, you know, I feel like every shot you did was a wide angle lens because, and people say the same thing about my shop. It's like, you know, like they come to my shop and they're like, well, it looks bigger online. Like yours looks.
That's what everybody says to us.
What's your footage, Pete?
21 by 21.
So we were 25 by 25.
Or really? Oh my God.
We were 24 by 26.
And here's the thing. And take no offense, Patrick.
That's bigger than my current space.
It literally felt smaller than my shop.
Yeah.
But granted, you also had the bump out, right? Are you counting the bump out?
No. That we added on.
That's the add-on, right? So like, Dan, like their shop, as even though it was bigger, it legit felt smaller than both of our shops because of like, it was just every part of it was used. There was no unused space in that.
And that was so thought through, like with us, I guess it was at 2020, we redid everything.
Yeah, I sat down and I designed it because I was like, this is the only way we fit all of the tools we need. There's no other way. And I tried.
I'm really glad you guys didn't go to like, oh, let's go to like a 35 by 25 and then to the big space. I'm glad you went straight to the big space because let's be real. You filled that new space already.
Oh, yeah. We already need a bigger space.
He's like, we need a bigger space. Like, please. Yeah.
I saw when we were laying out the tools when we got there and I'm like, you guys are already out of room.
No, Pete, you should see it now because like, honestly, it still feels huge. It's still like it's wide open. Now that we've put the pieces together, it feels huge.
Dan, this space is like a wet dream for us.
You guys could
mean
Pete, move to Hamilton. You can have my chop saw wall.
So okay. I would, however, no.
I would, but no.
But yeah, no. I was like, wait, what just happened?
You can have half this half the shop.
Dan, come out. A day early for Maker Camp, we'll drive down.
All right. Actually, that sounds fun.
That actually sounds fun. I would do that.
Yes.
So my goal that she doesn't know is I want to do like a Maker meetup once we finish the show.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Everyone's shop's never finished, but like I have certain goals that like I want to check off the list before I have people in here.
Do a camping trip. So we all set up tents inside the shop.
We can.
We
can go out.
If you got a place for me to park my 27-foot camper in there, I'm in.
You would not drive it this far. It's on the street, honestly, Dan.
I'm not sleeping in a tent.
You could sleep literally right outside the shop.
We'll leave the garage doors open so you feel welcome.
Very good. All right. Can I make a fire, like a fire ring on the sidewalk or anything?
Only if it's in a solar stove.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. We'll burn scraps.
We got plenty.
We got plenty.
Bring some though.
Oh my God.
I got Blaney as well.
We got to keep making our way through these questions. Because, like, again, I warned you guys. We'll just freaking chat all night.
Time. It's midnight.
It's almost midnight over here. But I got a question from... where's the guy with the face? Kimani?
Oh, he's whatever. Good at loading things on trucks and making sure they...
No, he's good at offloading them. Hey-o. All right, so question from him.
Hey, everybody. Hope you're doing well. I'm sure a bunch of people have already said it, but I'm super excited about next week. It's going to be a great time. I can't wait to see everybody there, especially all four of you. So my question is not about WorkbenchCon, but if someone was going to invest in your business $10,000, no questions asked, just you're going to invest it somewhere in the business, where would you invest that money, or what would you do with the money towards bettering your business? That's all. Thanks.
That's a great question. Cause, and I mentioned this in a pre-show, we're like, you know, 10,000 is a lot of money, but also
we've done it twice.
We all have a tool in our shop. That's like, this is the $10,000 right here. Yeah. Like one tool. Right. So like if it was a non like fancy tool, like, do you guys have an idea? Like, somebody give you 10K right now.
I want to hear what you have to say because I have an idea in my head.
Oh my God.
Okay. So,
what's your idea?
I think I would hire somebody to make YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Whoa. Mm. That's an outside of the box answer. I'm
at a position right now to where growing a YouTube and growing a following on YouTube with professional quality video, cinematic stuff that I don't have to film and edit
that's the key right there.
Yeah, that's
that you don't have to film and edit.
Exactly.
That's,
so
that's what stops me.
I could have $10,000 to spend on that way I have something that lasts forever on a search engine that could possibly make me money in the long run, even if it's not making it now. That's where I would spend it.
Honestly, no matter what any of us say, I think that's the best answer.
No, it's not. But that's a good answer.
No, but I want to hear what the boss says, Carlina.
My thought was to spend it. Oh, shut up. My thought was to spend it on someone to help design and upload templates and different type of digital templates that we can make passive income on so we can make money. Oh,
all right, Patrick, shut up.
That's actually better than Patrick's.
While we're on vacation, while we're working, there's always an online digital file.
Wouldn't it be better? Something
different getting upload
to have the link of a file in your YouTube video.
We don't know how to make
it. But if you don't have the file, there's YouTube videos got no links in it.
Maybe you mix them. You make a YouTube video around the file, and then you could put the file link in your YouTube video.
How about you're both right, but one of you is more right, and we're going to leave it at that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Carlina's more writer.
Yeah, we don't say it though, because guys.
Oh, I'm saying it. I'm saying it because I like Carlina more than I like Pat, and she's more writer.
Nice, she's clearly in charge. Well, Dan, what about you? What if you got 10 grand in your shop? Is it mayo?
Well, brand of mayo, wood mayo shirts.
No, as much as I like these wood mayo shirts, find them on the Daniel Dunlap Etsy store. I would take that money, and I'm going to blow you guys' minds right now, okay? I want you to, you're probably going to want to get out a piece of paper and write this down. I would take that money, mm-hmm. and my wife and I would take a trip to the island of Moriaea on the French Polynesian Islands. To take a load off, you know, to recalibrate.
You're gonna spend $10,000 on it?
If I had to choose two letters out of the alphabet,
you're not trying to make money with a 10 grand, you're just trying to spend
R&R.
Yeah.
I thought we were trying to make money and like
build that's gonna help me make money because I'm gonna come back refreshed.
Clear. Yeah, okay, yeah. that makes sense.
Yeah. Honestly, I've been to Moriaea and it's beautiful.
You think that it would cost $10,000?
Yeah.
He's in there.
Okay.
It's not an open bar, so yes.
Yes.
He's like, yeah, a little
Do you
more.
Have an extra couple grand to bring me? That'd be fun.
I mean, maybe you could
If you slouch, you could be one of the kids.
Saw Gypsy a suitcase together or something.
All right. Yeah.
Ooh, mosaic suitcase. That'd be freaking badass.
Boom. Passive income. Plans for a mosaic suitcase. Check out my YouTube video.
All right. What do you think, Pete? What would you do?
Oh, yeah. I should have thrown it to Pete. Yeah, Pete.
That's okay. No, that's fine. They listen to the podcast. You don't. So 10 grand. So 10 grand is a magic number in my brain. Of like, why? You know, well, hang on. Let me, I don't know, maybe I'll explain. Yeah, if I keep talking.
I got time for this. Hurry up.
It's like when you you buy a house and like, oh, you need a new, you know, your AC breaks, 10 grand. Oh, you need a new driveway, 10 grand. You need a new set of garage doors, 10 grand. New windows, 10 grand. It's all like, it's wall within
where
like
you getting windows for 10 grand.
I know, you're right. It's just one floor of that. Yeah, it was
not 10 grand.
That's a different episode. It's a different episode. But here's the thing. So like with the shop, same thing. Like I've gotten some ballpark quotes from other makers that have built shops and some vendors as well, just like ballpark of what they offer online. 10 grand gets you like every like insulation, 10 grand. You want electrical? 10 grand. You want a concrete floor in that Paul barn that's just mud right now?
50 grand. Oh, sorry.
It's all like 10 to 15 grand. Like that's basically the ballpark, right? So like if someone was just like, hey, I love what you do. Here's 10 grand. And I'd be like, no, for 10 hours. And then they would be like, no, please use it for what you want. I would tack it onto the money I have. And I would actually pull the trigger on my shop.
If I tacked it on the money I have, I would have $10,035.78.
Well, let's just say for like my shop, like shop fund money. Because yeah, here's the thing.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not pulling a trigger on a shop until I have like significant amount. I would ideally not do anything until I have 50 grand set aside. Because as ridiculous as that sounds, that's a lot of money for me. But that's what it costs to build a shop and maybe get insulation in there and electrical.
Do you think that maybe you should do it in steps?
That's the whole thing. So if somebody was like, here's 10 grand, do what you want, but you got, I'm thinking of like in the form of grants. Cause I work for corporate. So like, it's like, yeah. Hey, here's money, but you have to use it by Q4. Guess what? I'm putting a rough building on my property, walls, ceiling, everything that's enclosed. And at 10 grand concrete floor.
Or actually I can do a that. Real answer for me. Maybe that 10 grand is like a down payment on the bigger scale of things. Like your shop's going to cost you $100,000 altogether. Maybe that's 10% down payment. Yeah.
But I think that would just like, that would just get me over the threshold of like, oh, I can afford to just put a rough structure on there. And you know what? Maybe I have a wood burning stove for a year. Maybe I get to.
You don't want to have a pallet house. I know it's not
a pallet house, but
it, for those of you, I have it on good authority, and it doesn't end well.
Dan introduced himself at WorkbenchCon 2 years ago, and was like, "Here we go. You guys are the ones that burnt your pallet house down, huh?
Electrical fire!"
I was like, "Yep."
I was like, we didn't burn it down, but we are the ones who, we had a fire.
And then we had dinner together.
So the moment you said that, that's how I knew. I was like, all right, we're friends.
We're going to be BFF. Cool.
I was like, he gets it.
But, you know, 10 grand, it's both very little and a lot of money, depending on what you're trying to tackle.
In the scheme of things, it's not a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money to an individual, like as just a family man trying to make his way in this world. $10,000 could go a long way.
10 grand.
Yeah. I mean, I could take that 10 grand and help my family out. But if I'm running a business, a mildly successful business, it's not that much.
It could buy
one tool or it could do one little thing. I mean, it's not going to do a whole lot.
Here, I'm going to answer this because Kamani asked a question and Kamani's talking about possibly having to move and possibly having to move into a smaller shop.
Oh, tell him don't.
I
don't think he has a choice.
I don't think he has a choice. That's the thing. And then possibly just like a garage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Straight garage. Honestly, electrical insulation, end of list. If you can insulate that shop, I mean, you might get a good electrical in there.
You might try to get walls, though.
If it's a one-car garage, like, he could probably do electrical and insulation for 10 grand or less.
Well, less. I'm saying both. You could probably do both of those for that if you do it yourself or get a friend in a community. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you were actually moving into a space, like, he may be, that's the two priorities. You want to be warm and cool, depending on the season, and also have outlets. So you're not running a power, you know, one outlet in the whole shop.
If that was
a power strip from the garage door opener.
If our lease was up, say, and they were handing us 10 grand, that's exactly what I would do.
Yeah. Comfort and power. That's the two things.
That's all you need in the beginning. Especially if you already have some of the tools.
I think that's a Marvel duo, comfort and power.
Comfort and power. After Thanos.
Or maybe DC. I don't know.
That's our OnlyFans name.
Comfort and power. who's who, actually? I'm curious.
All right, we gotta move through the questions. This is great. We're just BSing. Next question is from Patrick Genital.
Oh, genitalia.
Patrick Genitalia.
He's a VIP patron.
Hey guys, Patrick Gentle here. My question is for Patrick and Carlina. Firstly, Patrick, though, how does it feel being the second most handsome Patrick in the maker community? Though I will say you probably have the best hair in the maker community, not just Patrick's, but overall. And secondly, are we going to round up all of the Patrick's at WorkbenchCon and get a photo? There's got to be at least three of us. And then for my real question, as a proprietor of a brick and mortar business in an increasingly digital world, do you have any struggles with that? What you guys do with Maker's Handmade is beautiful. Still need to get down there, even though you guys are so close. I haven't been there yet. I'm just curious. What are your struggles as a brick and mortar business in this world that is increasingly digital? I know you guys do a lot of digital sales as well, but that's my question. So bye. I'll see you all next week. I can't believe it's next week. All right. Bye.
All right, Patrick's not that close. Yeah, he's like 3 hours away, three and a half.
I mean, it's closer than
Anne. Yeah, you're definitely closer than me. Before you answer, you're the second most beautiful Patrick.
Yeah.
Only Patrick Mahomes, right? Have you seen that guy? He's gorgeous.
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 Also, the hair, like, the
curly hair. I thought that was a dig to all men in the woodworking community. He said, out of all the men, he got the best.
Yeah, that's talking shit on Jeff. Cool.
I know, it was Jeff from Two Moves. Gotta say,
Jeff's hair always looks raggedy, though. He needs to wash it. I'm gonna be honest.
So does Patrick.
No, Patrick's hair, this Patrick right here in front of me, his hair is always like clean and flowing. It's like he's got.
That's because he's got a 480p.
What is
camera.
That? What is that conditioner from the 80s? It's not Valvoline. It's
Valvoline.
What do you use?
No, it's got. It starts with a V. It starts with
some motor oil.
Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about?
It starts with a V. It's not Valvoline. But Valvoline would probably be good for your hair. To be honest with you,
that's with a V. Vegemite.
Vegemite. You guys talk. I'm going to look this up because it's going to bother me now.
So, guys, being a proprietor of a brick and mortar, what are the big challenges that you have with the store?
For me, at least what I see, is upkeeping and inventory. People like to see change. They like to see new. They like to see different things every time they
constant
come in.
Constant change.
So to keep up with that on the reg is a lot. On top of
Pantene,
you're a customer.
Pro V.
Pantene Pro V? That starts with a V.
Oh, Pantene.
I mean, it's got a V in it. It's a very prominent letter.
Almost at the end. Wow.
Oh, it is at the end.
I said almost.
All right, continue on.
What do you think? Anyway, what do you think? Because that's my opinion.
No, I agree with that.
Fresh inventory. That's a good point.
Yeah, because so you're watching the inventory go, you're watching the money come in, and then you're like, wow, we made so much. And then you're like, no, we didn't. Because if you don't buy more, you're screwed. So it's consistent inventory purchasing and consistently like doing research on things that will sell in this demographic, in this area.
During the time of the year.
During the time of the year, during the, the month. So you're constantly, you got to be like three steps ahead when you're buying inventory, which most makers understand that because of cutting board season or whatever you want to call it.
VO5.
Oh, that is okay. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry.
I know that
one. So Emma also had, she pre-listened to this question and she's like, well, what about the good stuff? Just good question. Like, so like, you know, you guys were like looking for a bigger shop space and everything. And you found that storefront, you've got it, you fix it up, a lot of challenges with it, but like, what's the best parts about it? Like, what do you love about having a storefront?
Okay. My biggest thing, because I loved doing markets and like festivals and stuff, because you got to talk to everybody about the pieces that you've made face to face versus online and shipping it out. And like, I get that every weekend, and like, we're open Thursday through Sunday right now. So like, I get that every time somebody comes in the store and I get to talk to them about the pieces I've made and the love that I put in it and where everything's from, or the macrame artist that has walked in and given us this stuff and the love that they put in it, or the digital artist that has created these stickers. Like, I get to like portray that.
Yeah.
That it's like that a festival high,
feeling, you know,
that like you get to talk to them about all of the love and every piece and cut that have gone into the pieces you've created, and like see them light up about the things that you've done. Now they're going to take it home to their family. So like, that's like the biggest high I get like every weekend when I get to talk to somebody about a piece that they're
buying.
Which
is something that I deprived her of when I said no more festivals. No more festivals. We need to focus on our own stuff.
So I get, that's like probably the best part about owning a storefront with pieces that you've created that are in it. I get to go through that every weekend.
I can relate to that. And I understand exactly where you're coming from, because I get that same high whenever I do the twos of festivals that I do every year.
Yeah.
And I say festival loosely. It's more of a craft fair.
Yeah.
But I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Because they want to know where it came from. And they're like, oh my God, so you made this piece? You're not.
People love to hear the story.
Yeah.
So you make all this?
Yeah.
People think, why would I stand in front of it?
The desk. I'm like, no, I own the store. Like, I made this, that. And then they want to hear more about it. And it's fun getting to like talk to them about it and seeing them get just as excited hearing me talk about how excited I am about peace.
Yeah.
And something I want to point out is you guys are talking about all the success, all the work you're putting into it, all the great things that are coming out of it.
We're still poor.
No. It's not that.
Oh, okay.
You're always going to be that. Listen, the way it
it's a mindset. A poor is a mindset. But like, you guys are still making your rent. You're having a good time. You're making the things you want. Your storefront is open Thursday through Sunday. 4 days out of the week, right? So like, yes, you're working every day. Like, I know how you guys are, because we're the same way. You work every freaking day. It's like, if you love what you do, you work every day. But like, your storefront itself is open 4 days a week, and you're still able to make rent.
Those of you that don't know, like, we run the storefront, so one of us at all times is in there. Sometimes two of us, depending on what's happening in the back.
Well,
we don't
in the
pay
back
somebody
so. If I was a stalker, that's how I could find you.
Yeah, 100%. I'll give you.
Oh, cool.
How many teenagers? Cool.
You're across the street at the bar with binoculars, like, ooh, she's hot from the back. Ooh, that's Patrick.
Oh,
yeah, you don't have to do that. You could come in.
Just come in.
You ain't got to be a creep. Just come in.
Ready for this quick story? Saying, ooh, hot one, that's Patrick. So the weekend me and Patrick met was at one of his uncle throws his dirt bike, big vintage dirt bike show.
That tracks.
Party. So our friend, which is a mutual friend, invited me and my sister, and we're there that weekend, and I was home
from field
hockey because I was injured. So I was like, oh, I'll just go with my sister, tag along. And as I'm in the field at the dirt bike thing, his dad yells, Patrick, to me, because we were both wearing a denim jacket and long dark brown hair. And his dad got us confused from the distance.
She turned around and was like, no, not me.
No, I'm a girl.
I mean, the hair, the clothing choice, a lot of Carhartt. I get it.
Imagine being a father that was born in the 60s and be
mistaking
that
his
let
son
down
with a girl.
When...
Wait, I have an idea. Okay, there's a TikTok trend right now of like oh, we wore the same socks, so you couldn't tell us apart. And it's like two very different people, or like it's like a baby and their mother, or like, oh, we have the same like bow ties in our hair, so you can't tell us apart. You guys should do that. It's like
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I'll send it to you. It's like wear the same exact thing in our hair, so nobody can tell us apart.
You guys should wear like the same
a guy and a girl, clearly. So
wear the same exact like summer top.
Yeah.
Where am I supposed to
go? I'm in.
Yeah. It's a trend. I got you guys. I'll send it to you.
Send me those.
We'll make you relevant.
We got you. Good. Yeah, I'm super into trends.
Oh, geez.
Sorry to get you off topic.
Yeah, well, wait. So before I get into the next question, we had a shout-in question from the other room. Emma asked me when she
pre-listened.
It was in a call. It was a shout-in.
What does that mean?
She shouted it at me because I'm wearing headphones. She's like speaking up. You know, Patrick's asking about like what's the downsides of a brick and mortar? Like, what are the upsides? What are the things that you guys freaking love? What are the things that like you're in there and you're like, this is the best thing ever, and I didn't expect it.
So there's a lot of things. Not the number one thing, but the one thing I enjoy the most out of it is it pays for our large wood shop. That's like, it sounds crazy. It's
practical.
It's a practical answer.
Yeah. I want the answer from your heart. So Carlina, what's your answer?
Well, mine was the whole like getting to like talk to everybody like as a festival.
So
she already talked about it.
Like from my heart, the real answer would be I enjoy sitting in there with all of our plants. We sell house plants now because we enjoy house plants.
You just okay. I'm just picturing Patrick sitting in the middle of the room surrounded by plants going, oh, this is nice.
So we have like a nice big humidifier that kicks off like moist air, you know.
It's great for the wood.
Yeah, it's not good for the wood, but yeah.
Depends on what kind of wood.
We have like up to 350 plants in there at a time.
And whoa! Like
we're doing emails, we're editing videos, we're doing all this stuff that you guys understand. And we normally have to do it in a shitty space. So it's like nice to go in there when we're closed and keep the lights dim. And you got this area that's just like all yours.
You're like sitting in a jungle.
I love that.
Really are. And you're doing your office work that would normally suck unless you had a really nice office.
Good air, good space.
Yeah, it feels good. Like you
idea.
Yes.
Idea. And we talked about this in the pre-show with my CPAP, but maybe put vodka in the humidifier.
Oh, could we try that?
Well, and
take it up a notch.
Second fire. Okay.
Throw a match.
I'm not saying you should do it, but it would be interesting if you tried.
Only if you try it at WorkbenchCon next week with your sleep app.
With it? No. And
sleep app.
Yeah, we'll monitor you. Memorandum on like Sunday, like in a passing.
I don't know if I can trust Dunlap. You guys to monitor me.
Yeah, when I say we'll monitor you, I mean you go to bed and we sit around your bed.
Well, Braden's in a room, Nick Brim's in a room. They'll monitor him.
As much as I want to try it, I'm going to be honest. I want to try it.
I don't know if I trust those guys.
We're not going to let you die, but we'll let you get close. We'll let you get
Once again, going back to edging.
We're not
going to
let you die, but. We'll let you see the light.
We're edging. Right as you stop breathing, we'll slap you.
Edging death. Oh, that sounds fun. Here's a show title.
Edging death. Edging death with Pat and Carlina.
Jeez. Did you just write it down? What are you doing?
I did.
Yeah. No, we write.
I have a couple show titles.
We
already.
Do not remember the next day. We're like, who was on last night? Oh, yeah, I got to edit the podcast. That's right.
What happened last night?
I always take notes during the podcast.
I love what you said because it's like, it's the workspace that becomes a safe space after hours.
Yeah. It's something like, I didn't even realize that was going to happen at all. Yeah. Like
it's
I was just
something
like,
you don't realize it's possible. Cause we all grew up at like jobs.
Yeah.
Right. You want to get the F out of there as soon as you can.
Yeah.
Where we're like, we close at 6 and we're here till like 9, 10 o'clock at night. And I'm just like, okay, it takes us like, or we're leaving, it takes us an hour to actually leave. Yeah. We just enjoy the space that we've created.
Yeah, the space is really nice to be in, which is like, normally at the end of the night, I love my wood shop, but I'm like, all right, shut the fucking lights off, get it out of here. But
then you go into the storefront, and it's plants. It's wood colors. It's
finished products, not
it's finished product. Yes.
It feels better, you know, like
it's very zen.
Yeah, dude, it really is.
That hits me right where it hurts right now. Cause like we recently moved Emma into my office or our office now. And like we work side by side and I was not expecting to like enjoy it. I was like, I got a smaller desk now.
Is her office turning into the nursery?
Her office is going to be the nursery. Oh. Yeah. I was going to go into basement, but now we're like combined. We have this L desk combo going together. And like we even
make a desk,
you know, like we threw a plant in there, right? Like that. It's a live plant.
I like that. Yeah. Just turn the light on so you can see the plant.
Yeah. Just for that. Boom. Back to that. But like, it's like having her in here, like, this is where I work for my day job every day. Like I stare at these two screens right here for my day job. This is my fun screens, the two screens over here that I'm doing a podcast on. Like I work here all day.
Yeah.
And I clock out and I just close my laptop and I see Emma right there. And because the space is like so comfy and safe and comfortable, like it's a workspace, but it's no longer a workspace. It's now the space to like, hey, let's work on us, on the thing we want to do. So I love that you guys love your front of house, so to speak, so much. And also, that is a ridiculous number of plants.
Yeah,
I was not expecting hundreds. You said 300. I'm like, I'm sorry. Go back to that.
I would have been surprised at 30.
I have one, and then I have a plant. It's called Bulbasaur because it's a light bulb. And it's got green inside it.
Is that weed?
No. It's just like
oregano.
It's oregano, but it's a bulb. I call it Bulbasaur because whatever. But that's my two plants in the entire space, and you guys have 350.
Well, right now we have like probably 120. But
I'm sorry.
At one time,
120.
Like when we do our big restock, like we're restocking at least around 350 to 375. The beginning of
what? March?
Mid-March, yeah.
Do you store some in the shop or they're all in the front of house?
If a plant gets a bug, if a plant like looks sad, if there's something wrong with a plant, we put it in timeout, which means it goes into the wood shop.
Away from all the other plants.
And then we get to enjoy it while we work, but it gets to be segregated.
And then we take like care of Rosa it if it has Parks. Something wrong with it.
I mean, in the wood shop.
A plant hospital. A plant ICU, if you will.
So funny. I had plants in the shop.
And it makes it lively.
They died.
Like, you want plants back here. No, and it's summertime.
So it's crazy because right now we don't have heat and air in the shop. And it drops down to
50.
40, like 46, 47. And they aren't supposed to enjoy that, but they've been dealing with it.
I'm like, you guys can stay back here.
We got like five plants back here right now.
It looks cute back here with all the plants.
We will have plants permanently in the wood shop, if that's what you're asking.
Eventually.
Okay.
It'd be nice. Might as well. You get the tall ceilings. Hang them off the ceilings.
Oh, I want to put like a flake flower box with the windows where the office is.
Wait.
I got it planned out. Once the Pioneer mini splits are all running, they're all set up. They're just not running right now.
Yeah.
We're waiting on electricians.
Because I can't do it.
Electricians are the worst. You know what I'm talking about?
The worst.
Anyway, who's our next question from?
Next one's from Braden from Littlebug.
Oh, okay.
What's up, y'all? It's Braden with the B-Dub Dubs. I'd like to know where all of y'all get your inspiration for your projects. Pat and Carlina, y'all do a lot of like really decorative stuff. Dan is the side table designing guru, and you know, even Pete with his ice hook thingamajigs, you know, he's putting his own spicy flair on sanding those. So I just love to where you guys get your inspiration. Hope you guys have a good night. Bye.
My answer is going to be short and sweet. I steal all my ideas from Pinterest, but what about you guys?
Oh, I was going to say the internet, but close.
I stole your answer.
No. Oh, nice of you to show up. No. So I would say, I don't know a lot. I would say most of ours are inspired by previous projects. Okay.
No, sorry. Knocked over a can. I'm sorry.
By previous projects, like that I've seen someone else do. I wouldn't say that I've done anything that someone else hasn't already done. I mean, between
I think it's really hard to do something.
There's nothing
completely
truly
original.
Yeah,
at this point,
I don't.
You put your own twist on certain things, but I feel like there's always been inspiration from other people or other things that we've
right
seen in places.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm always just inspired by other makers. So it's if to get to brass tacks, it would be Instagram, other makers on Instagram.
Exactly.
I steal all of it.
Well, I'm going to block Pat and Carolina as soon as it's over. But no, I agree 100%. I get a lot of my ideas from Instagram and other social media outlets. I mean, like I just said, you know, everything's been done before. Very little at this point is original. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you do see an original idea, you're like, oh my God, that's genius. I'm going to do it too. And I'm going to put my little spin on it.
I try to like certain things. Like we both have like such a love for nature and hiking and traveling and stuff like that, where like the moss and stuff, I've tried to like pull in nature into my mosaics with that. I did a couple like burlappy things to give like that, like sand look. Like there's a couple different things where we've tried to pull from like nature to try to put it right into my pieces.
Yeah. I feel like I didn't see anyone else do moss.
I just had an idea. The mosaic. Considering you were talking about nature. Trees are made of wood.
Oh.
Have you ever thought about incorporating wood into your
never thought product about that?
Yeah, you can write that down. You can use that.
Tree equals wood. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it equal to or greater than?
Equal to or greater than what?
I think it's that swirly about equal to whatever that means. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Approximate.
Come see, come saw.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are saying words I don't understand.
Okay. What about you, Pete, with these ice picks sanding?
Well, first of all, that's not my design. I just do, it's a production job.
Well, he said with the clever sanding.
Well, clever sanding is just a lot of me sanding with like six different sanders.
Pete's clever sanding is this. Hey, Emma, come give me a hand.
Yeah. Emma holding that's a sander. Clever. Yeah. That'll happen. No, she's my administrative like boss. Like she handles the admin stuff more than anything. But here's the thing. Like my biggest inspiration is inefficiency in the world. That's all I'll say. Like it's stuff that like I see something like this can be done better. Why is this not stored better? Why is this out of place? How can I make this more organized? How can I get this better? That's my thing. Like I've never had a artistic mind. I'll never pretend to be like very artistic or like, oh, I have this idea for flowing lines, whatever. I'm 90 degrees, 45 degrees. I'm degrees and numbers. And I like things to be within that, like to an OCD level. And I know it's not like very creative, but my creativity is like order or trying to organize things or trying to make things that are practical. I love solving problems. That's why I like, it took me years to figure out that like, hey, I'm not a furniture maker. I'm a maker. I make things that make me happy, and things that make me happy are things that are organized and great. Like I'm working on this stupid kitchen island rebuild, and I hate and love every second of it because it's going to be literally every day of my, like every day I will use this island. Every day I'll put work there. Every day I'll work at this island. It'll have a nice seating area. I'll cut bread on it that Emma bakes. Like it's going to be really ingrained in what I do. And I found love in something that I'm like some monotonous and annoying and super stupid and tedious as rebuilding a cabinet. But like, I find beauty in everyday items. Like I love this mosaic that I have here that Carlina made. Emma was like, oh, I want to buy it. And my first thought was, what's the first thought we all have? Say it with me. I can make that. Exactly. Yeah, I can make that. But then it's like, no, but like Carlina made this. This is their business. A, I want to support. B, that's cool. C, it's that like classic green we all like right now. Right.
D,
now.
Take a picture and I can recreate it in Aspire.
Yeah. But like it was,
I get what you mean, because I feel like Patrick has that, so he has that brain, like he's artistic, he understands things, but like
you mispronounce autistic.
I know, I'm so sorry. I'm dyslexic, I mix things up. He like,
jeez, we're just losing all sorts of people.
looks at something and was like, I just am like, this is how it works.
That's how the festival got started.
And he's like, well, how can we make it better? How can we
do that?
He's always like, so the stupid thing that everybody says, work smarter, not harder. And he always finds a way to like make it in the shop, in the festival. Okay, Carlini, you're taking 5 steps to complete this, but like, why can't you just do it in 2? And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm fine.
And that's one of the things that I look at when I'm making something. So like when I make my side tables, yeah, I get an idea that comes to me and I'll make it a couple times. I'm like, okay, how can I do this better? Mm-hmm. What is it missing? You know, it comes from doing something a couple iterations before you kind of settle on a final design, right?
Yeah. No, I think it's really important to like what you said earlier, which is you know, nothing's original. We've seen it all. We're just inspired / copying everyone that we've ever been inspired by. But like, that's all it is. It's like, how's watching someone on Instagram and designing what they made, but with your tools and your know-how and your knowledge? Because like, here's the thing, if it's crappy, it's close to, and they're like, oh, you were like trying to be like Dan Dunlap with his C's table. But if it's really good,
but that's not my design. Like, that's not my design.
I know, but like, yeah, suddenly, no, if it's so good that it's identical to yours, everyone's like, well, you're just copying Dan Dunlap. Like, it's such a fine line between you're inspired by, like, oh, that's cute. Because this is kind of a dirty thing, but like, our minds tend to think like, well, you're trying to monetize on this other person's thing. And we, you know, once it's good enough, it's like, well, you now are like underselling or undercutting this other person who made this idea happen. But then again, none of these ideas are original. Mm-hmm. We talk about this all the time, even with like laser cut acrylic templates or CNC stuff. You know, you think you've seen it all and you get inspired. I mean, heck, a quarter of the stuff I cut on a CNC and a laser, I buy the files. I think they're really cool. And I buy them and I have the right to sell them and I sell the file, whatever, if I modify it. But like, it's okay. Guys, there's no original ideas. There's plenty of people that are copying me and Dan and Pat and Carlina out there. And you know what? It's not like at the end of the day, we can't feed our family because of it.
Yeah.
You know, we got enough things happening. So yeah, just be inspired. Get inspired. That's all that matters. Get inspired. Do the thing. And if somebody hates on you,
it's screw like the coolest it. Thing is like you're inspired by your peers and the people around you. So yes, like I'm exactly. still to the end of this, like I'll forever be inspired by everyone around me. And I'm going to take their idea and tweak it to what I see it as. And like you said, there's no original idea. You can tweak things as much as you want to kind of make it your own. But like, yeah. I still think it's freaking cool that we're just inspired by everyone around us.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. And yeah, a lot of people are not getting that. A lot of people get in the jealous space of it.
And like when I see someone,
I'm not sure that's what Braden.
Like, hell yeah,
he wasn't.
I'm not sure that's what Braden was asking that for, but like
we kind of got on our own tangent,
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Honestly, look at it as a compliment too. Like, obviously, there are no original ideas, but if you saw somebody like do something similar to you,
no, I have people tag me all the time. Like,
it's cool.
Oh, I saw Daniel do this and I thought I'd put my own spin on it. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I wish I would have thought of that.
You inspired someone. That's awesome. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. That's like such a good feeling. Like I'm a avid consumer of new crap on the internet. Like I am on every platform and I consume way too much of it. And like, so it takes a lot for me to get like really blown away by something. And like, for example, when I saw Dave Meow doing the 3D DIY Dave engraving the print bed of a printer on a laser so that when he prints, his logo is engraved into the base of that print. That was genuinely like, I have never seen this before. This is incredible. You are a genius. I'm bowing down.
Like, okay, there was an original idea.
Dave meowing down?
Meowing down. Meowing down. Dave meow. Yeah. He's the cat's eye. So like, but like, but here's the thing. At the end of the day, it's not an original idea in a way because like, the pattern
where do you get that type.
So there are print beds you can get for your bamboo or Prusa or Ender, or whatever.
But were other people creating their own logos? Or
they're not. No, no. So that's the original part. But the concept of it was like there are basically patterns that are made into the bed that you put into your printer. So when you print, it's slight differentials in the depth of whatever.
I saw Dave doing it. Patrick Gensel doing
Patrick Gensel did one. I have one Patrick too. I have one that like Dave. Has like a basically like a what is it called? Whatever. It's like a cool pattern in it that you can you 3D print it. You lift it up. The base that you print it on has this cool reflective pattern. So it's not. It's again not that part of it is not original, but to put your own logo in it. That is
never seen it done before. And like there's
I haven't either. So that's why I was like, this is insane. When I saw him do it, I was like, called them. I'm like, this is crazy.
But something so simple, like you have a laser, you have a 3D printer, you should have been doing that a long time ago.
You just combine the two.
Why didn't you think of it?
You know, but then again, there's probably an account with like 150 followers that's like, I did that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, like that's how it is. And again, it's not like Dave copied someone or whatever. Like it's
I think Dave did actually. I'm tired of giving him credit, to be honest.
You know, you never know. Like somebody may have like already done it, or he is a genuine original one. And like what I'm basically saying is like there's times that we are genuinely blown away and we want to just copy it for the sake of like how did he do that? I want to figure it out. I want to figure this out. Yeah, I want to do it. But then, you know, you're always going to have like somebody in the comments that's like, oh, Dave did it before you did. And then they tag Dave like he's going to get, you know, get us in trouble. But like, yeah, we're inspired. We're in the same group chat. We know.
speaking of that, the comment section. So I just released a reel of me cutting a piece of sandpaper into a smaller piece of sandpaper to fit this little handheld sander that I use.
That's been done
and
before.
I use my laser for it because why the hell not, right? And every time you do something like that, you get somebody that comes along and they're like, why didn't you just use a piece of a couple scissors or a knife? Because that wouldn't make a fun video, would it?
Because I spent a couple grand on a laser. That's
hey guys,
why.
Nick from the Working Green. So I got a question.
Sorry, I started playing Nick's.
I was like, again. What?
Sorry. But yeah, that like why? Because you could. Because you'd wanted to, man.
Because it sounded fun to me. Yeah.
You know why? Because you want people to engage.
Exactly.
That's it.
It's a tiny bit of rage bait. And I expect people that like that to comment.
Rage bait?
Yes.
I
expect people like that to comment, but it's still, even though I'm expecting it, I still get annoyed by it.
Like, what did you mean?
There are more, there's more than one way to do a thing. There's 100 different ways to do a thing.
So what you just said, that rage bait thing, like we actually taught a piece of that in our class at WorkbenchCon last year. And our example was specifically Dusty. I don't know if you guys followed
Dusty Lumberco. Yeah.
Yeah. So when he was filling up he has all these giant, I think they're 5 gallon tubs of Tite Bond, and he was putting them into small bottles, and he put the wrong one into a bottle.
Tite Bond 2 and Tite Bond 3.
Yeah. And so I have it like, we're good friends. So I chat with him all the time. So I texted him, was like, you did that on purpose, didn't you? And he was like,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
I did it 100% because people will engage and comment saying I did it wrong. Yeah. And I was like, you're a genius. Like I
that
never
goes back to that goes back to me saying, if I want to find how to do something, you I'll say post the wrong thing.
Yeah. It's like
people, they're immediately ready to tell you.
Trolls don't understand. They're helping.
They don't get it.
Thank you.
God bless the trolls. Anyways, long story short, I get inspiration from doing stuff like that, because when you do something kind of like out of the box, it may or may not trigger an idea for something else.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when I scored or cut the sandpaper, it kind of gave me an idea to, I could take this another level and cut something else.
Yeah. You know?
I think that people only either it's usually actually not the account that created the original quote unquote thing. It's always the social warriors that want to stand up for the accounts that'll either, when they see a value attached to the thing you just did, if like, if Dan's a big account or any one of us, like if we post something that like Ben Myers did, right? Like just spot on exactly what he did. I never heard of him. Yeah. Right. Like, or whatever, like whoever account, like Keith Johnson, I don't know if you guys ever heard of him. Upstart guy, great guy to follow. So like if you do something exactly like he's like, oh, I tried this finish or I tried CNCing this and you do the exact same thing. If it's got no value attached to it, like, oh, I tried this thing, like whatever. No one's going to care. But a second you're like, hey, I added a new template on my shop of this thing. And they're like, well, Ben Myers did it. Like suddenly people like feel like they have to stand up. Yeah. It's like, you know, as soon as there's money or value attached to it, people tend to be a little more iffy about it and be out more outspoken. But then again,
they want people to get their credit. And I understand it.
I get that. Yeah.
They also don't realize everyone that's in the community is friends.
We're all friends. Yeah.
No, it's like, I saw that.
Mostly.
We're friends.
Mostly.
Mostly. Yeah.
Yeah. I will never buy Dan dinner ever again.
That's fine.
He jumps on couches. It's crazy.
Yeah. He jumped on patches and I'm like, well, I can't do it now. Thanks, Dan. All right. Well, let's get into our last question because we could just keep going all night. Last question is from Jake.
Good evening, everybody. This is Jake with Dobby's Craft House. I had a question for the Pineys and for Pete. I noticed in some Instagram reels a while back when the Pineys were moving from their old workshop to their new workshop, the new Pine Baron workshop, there was a big Nova 51, I believe, a Nova 51 Thunder Laser that was moved on the back of a moving truck with a lift gate. I was just wondering, how did you guys get that in and out of the truck? Because I have a move coming up in the next few years, and I just want to kind of have a plan for that. Thank you. Love the show. Bye.
I assume a Nova 51 is a large machine.
Dan, he didn't ask you at all. He only
I knew he didn't ask me. I just kind of wanted to get my voice in before you guys start talking.
But so the 51s, it's 51 deep, 77 long is what ours is.
No.
It's the what you think of a 100-watt plus model is.
It's a large.
It's so like the size of my laser, Dan.
51 is the width.
No.
51 was the depth?
The depth. It's
77. No. It's 51 wide. It's 51 and it's 33 or deep.
Oh, okay. It's the outer dimension.
So when it,
it's a 4x3.
When they say Nova 51 100, it's a Nova Max. Is the, I don't know.
Brand.
It's not the brand because the brand,
not the brand, but the model.
The model named, which would be Nova. 51 is the width of the laser and 100 is the watt, the wattage.
Yeah.
So we have a Nova 51 100 watt thunder laser. So that's just the interior width of it. I think the actual thing though is like 55 by 77. The outside.
Outside.
Yeah.
But either way, so what he's asking and what for people that don't know, Pete came over and helped us move this thing. And it was the biggest part of the move. It was the scariest part.
I want to cut you off here. Pete and Emma showed up to a moving party.
You're Pete, right?
A party I'm Pete four in this. Of us.
Hang on.
Was there pizza?
I was not aware of this. We showed up to a move, like we're quote unquote moving the shop. We'll be ready to move blank, blank, blank on this day, blah, blah, blah. We show up. We are the moving party. It's me and Emma, Pat and Carlina, and like one or two other friends. And then we get to the laser and Pat just goes, so what do you think? And I'm like, when did I become in charge? Because I moved my small...
literally just passed everything on to Pete. Everything was like, okay, I called Emma. I was like, Emma, we literally have nothing packed. I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a big shit show today. She's like, it's okay. We'll figure it out. And then we get to laser.
Emma's
and we
so both positive.
Look at Pete and I'm like, you're the numbers guy. Like
and I'm like, when the F did this happen? And you good?
I mean, I was warning you. I tried to warn you, at least.
We're like, we got a lift gate. This should help. Yeah. Like, it's all wheels.
We did some like, we had to like finagle it a little bit, but like, here's the thing. It will fit width wise on a lift gate of an average truck. You have to get a full size lift gate.
So it's a large machine. How much does it weigh? I want you to talk about this. Like, I'm pretty sure it was
1,400 pounds.
I think it was. Yeah, I think it's 1,500 pounds.
When I got it delivered to me, I had to get a tractor because the crate that it arrives on doesn't fit on a lift gate. So you have to do a lift gate and a tractor or skid steer combo to lower it.
It's not true though, because we had a
Kamani moment
where a professional man knew what he was doing, and he
professional man.
Yeah, Kamani also had a professional man, and his table saw.
Professional pallet lift person.
So this guy, he put it on a pallet jack, rolled it out, slung the pallet jack over the edge, so the wheels were hanging off, and it slammed down onto the metal forks of the pallet jack. See,
my crate wouldn't fit width-wise on the truck though.
What did you get? What's your?
I had the Laguna 150. Same body size.
Oh, that's why. Yeah, but you're the only person that doesn't have a Thunder. Yeah, no.
I'm working on it. But the junk, the accessories were on the side of it. So we made it wider. So it had to come out long ways.
It was ours inside the box, actually.
It wouldn't. The thing was loaded long ways into the truck, and there was no way to swing it.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's the fun part. Luckily, my neighbor has a tractor. I'm doing a story. Back to you guys.
So it took a lot of strategy. Strategery.
Sat there for 20 minutes.
We thought it was going to.
Send it, guys. Let's go. Yeah.
So we got it on there. And
worst that could happen?
It's on wheels. So like, we wheeled one side of it on. And then the other side, the wheels were going to hang off. So we ended up throwing a bunch of like 2x4s or whatever.
2x6s.
2x6s underneath. And then like a couple of wedges. I think we ended up just to try to get it level. And then we're like, oh, who was it? Carlina or Emma running the button?
Emma did it. And I was like, just push it, Emma. I'm filming.
Just push it. Like, just push it. And it starts lifting.
It was four of us, four guys pushing on it just in case it fell back.
I'm like, you guys are going to do shit.
It was going
four guys holding up 1,500 pounds.
Dude, it was going nowhere. Now, here's the thing, though. You get it lifted up to like the back of the truck height. And like, we had to push it. So like, two wheels are on the ground, but then we have to push it so the other back wheels that were hanging off would actually land on the flatbed. Or whatever.
Did you push it real good by chance?
We pushed it. Honestly, Patrick, would you say we pushed it real good?
I would say we pushed it real good.
They danced after.
So then we push it. And as soon as you get on those two wheels, suddenly there's enough space to just pull out those boards. And we just rolled it in. We're like, we were fucking sweating balls. We were freaking out for like 30 minutes. And then like, it's on there. And we're like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Okay. All right. We're good. And then offloading it, we're loosey goosey. We're like offloading like it's nothing. Like, yeah.
It's like reckless.
Two boards in. We got this. And it drops down and rolls out. And we're like, that was way too easy.
Yeah. The offloading, it was like, well, yeah, whatever happens, happens. You know,
here's the thing. The key to this whole thing is if you're moving your shop, when I moved my shop, I was lucky enough, Matt Morgan from Garden State, which Matt Morgan, he helped me out. He had a full trailer with a suspension and everything. So basically we're able to load up 90% of my shop into that. My laser went in my small laser at the time went into my car. And then he was pulling it with a Ford
Honda
whatever. Like, no, the big Ford vans,
Toyota but Prius.
The tall ones. Yeah. Prius XL. And like, that's where all the sheet goods went. Like, he basically moved my entire shop. That's great. If you can have something that's got a lift gate or drop down, like a landscape trailer that you can throw that into it, that's ideal.
I 150% recommend paying. What did we pay? $450
to get with the lift
for gate. A box truck with a lift gate.
That was the
best investment.
That's
we moved our whole shop in one
but
day.
But if you can't get a landscaping trailer, that is the best thing you can get. Because a landscaping trailer, I'm just saying, like, it's on the ground.
Yeah.
You move it up a foot, you roll it up, it's in there, it's good. But like, if you can't get that, what they got is ideal. You want to make sure it's a full lift gate too.
Not having to roll anything up was key. Like, oh,
so
all
nice.
All of the big machinery, if you can get a lift gate, you're just pushing it onto a flat lift gate and
or lifting it onto it. We put everything
if
on
I,
all wheels, but
if I ever switch shops, get a bigger shop, whatever, I'm hiring a moving company. A professional moving company, and I'm going to sign a contract with them and all that jazz. And if anything happens, the blame falls on them, and I'm getting new machines.
Then you don't have that amazing footage of Pete dropping your giant laser.
No, I'll have footage of the.
I didn't drop anything. Moving I didn't drop. I dropped nothing.
I'll be like, look, Your Honor, here's my proof.
Your right Honor. Here.
That was a crazy productive day. Like we moved your entire shop in what, two trips?
I think it was three trips, but we did.
Was it three trips?
You had to go to work.
Yeah, the third one, I think I either offloaded you guys and you guys just did like the last stuff or whatever. Because we had a 2.5 hour drive home. That was fun. But man, that was,
I thought, right?
I am shocked. Yeah, I had to work at 4. So we left at like 1:30, I think, and I made it home with 5 minutes to spare, which is crazy. But like, honestly, I was shocked how much we got into that truck without even like overloading it. Like we left some space in there. We used some straps. You need a minimum of 3 people, I'd say.
Yeah. One to film and.
Yeah. Two to maneuver. 100%. So like 3 people and whatever truck you get, they don't come with straps. That's all I'm going to say.
Get your own straps.
Get your own straps and you're set. You're going to be fine. On. Strap on. Exactly.
All right.
All right. I have one last question. I know we're really, really running long here.
Are we 3 hours in now?
We're 16 hours in. Yes. Yeah, so it's almost 1 a.m. here, our time. Pat and Carlina,
it's 11:46. You're not in the States. You'll be fine.
But the
11:46. What are you talking about?
It's 12:46 here.
11:47. Sorry.
The last question I want to end on is: we didn't touch on this, but I want to hear about like your working dynamic, because like I work with Emma every day now. You guys work together every single day.
Like, we hate it.
Oh. What are your, like, we love it, but there's obviously pros and cons. Like there's highs and lows. Like today I had a rough day at work and I had a rough day with behind the scenes stuff for Petrie's workshop. And like Emma was just there to witness me like rampage through the house. So like there's ups,
he also
ups
called and downs, me.
Highs and lows. Yeah. So I'd love to hear a quick little thing of like, talk about how it is working together. So you know, highs and lows.
I have highs and lows, and Carlina is very like level-minded all the time. And I think if we didn't have that, it wouldn't work. If there was highs and lows between the both of us, it's just my personality. Like either I'm on or I'm off, or something bad happens and I'm off, or something great happens and I'm on for a certain amount of time. And if it wasn't for her just being like, oh, everything's going to be fine. Oh, everything's going to be fine. Oh, I just did this to like,
unless the pallet house burns down.
Yeah. Unless we have a horrible fire.
That's the only time she breaks down.
Thanks for bringing that back up, Dan.
Cause sometimes it's just, he gets so in his head that it's like, it's so simple to me.
Like I said, the spectrum.
Yeah. It's like, what happened recently? I'm trying to think of an example. It's just something like simple, like this isn't working. I don't know how to figure it out.
And
I'm like,
let's put it that way.
I'm like, just tape that and I'll cut you a jig on the scroll saw real quick.
And I'm like, why are we the same person, Pat?
Like, he's like, just like, well, why couldn't I think of that? And I'm like, I don't know. That's why you need me. You have to keep me around.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, cool. Like there was a point in time we were in the middle of the move. Half of our stuff was over there still, that like our jigs and stuff like that. And I was like, oh crap. Like we have this custom order. I have this custom charcuterie board. These people ordered. We were like, we need to pay rent. So I was like, all right, let me try and just do it right now, even though half of our stuff isn't here. And so I got halfway through it and I was like, I need to cut a handle and I'm particular. So I didn't want to like just jigsaw it out. And I'm like in panic mode. Like everything's over there. It's due in like tomorrow. And, so she's like, relax, calm down, come back down. We have scrap acrylic and a laser. Let me just cut you a jig real quick and you could just figure it out. And she did that. And like, it just, she keeps us on an even keel at all times. And I think without having both of that, we wouldn't be successful. Like,
yeah, I say,
I see all these people doing this alone, and I am cheering them on because I could never do this without her.
Dude, 100%.
I think it goes both ways.
Because it's like,
I can't imagine doing it by myself now. Like, yeah. I can't.
We've gotten to a certain point where it's literally impossible.
Like, because he doesn't know some of the things that I know how to do, and I don't know half the things he knows how to do. So it's like we
job security.
Like, at least at the speed that she can do it, or I can do it. Like, I know she could run a CNC if she wants to, but I'm more comfortable. I know that I can run the laser, but she's way quicker at it. She's like a wizard. More fluent. So it's like
we both need each other, and like he needs me just for level mindedness, and like. I say it every day. We will not have what we have if it wasn't for him and for me to say, okay, let's figure it out. Because yeah. Like
she also he comes believes up in with my these crazy, stupid ideas yeah. that turn into
crazy ideas that
they turn into non-stupid ideas after they become yeah. successful. And
because like without them, we wouldn't have what we have. And I think without me, we wouldn't be able to finish what he's thought of. Like,
yeah,
it balances its way out.
Classic ADHD.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I have this idea. I'm going to buy this thing. And I'm like, okay. And then it sits there. And I'm like, okay, so what are we going to do with it? How's this going to happen? And then like we push yeah. through with it.
It's a classic with an asterisk. If you throw enough time, money, and Carlina's at it, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got the idea, which was the festival. And he's like, okay, we need to build a website. I need to figure out how to do tickets. I need to figure out taxes. I need to figure out this. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, taxes. Yeah, don't give all me that
in her head, she was like, oh, I can't wait to do a festival. And I was like, well, all of this crazy stuff that goes on behind sponsors, the scenes that nobody understands. Like, this.
What happens if we get bees that get out of control?
What happens if there's kamikaze parking. Bees that take out half of the audience?
We never accounted for the bees.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is your boss.
Yeah. Yeah. That was
figured it out.
That was me. But she fixed it.
I figured it out.
That's cool.
Dan, that's like a show title too. Like, never forget the bees. Like, don't forget to account for the
always
bees.
Always account for the bees.
Always account for the bees.
Like, he's writing it down.
Oh my God.
So, oh God. I know we've been running a long time, but
we're done when we're done.
Because I have whatever okay, I have.
Last question. What's next for you guys?
The big secret thing.
Yeah.
To add on to everything we're doing, we've been dealing with our small town for the last 7 months. They, in order to get us to sign this lease, they agreed that we could do markets on the road that we're connected to. We've been pushing to do a farmer's market in our town with makers, with produce, with small vendors, homesteaders and stuff like that. So
awesome.
We go to our meeting on Monday to see if it gets passed. And if it gets passed, it happens every Sunday for 3 months.
Like during the summer, during the spring?
Starting April 7th through June 16th.
When the weather's nice.
That's not bad. Okay. I thought they were going to screw you. I'm like, November to January. That's all you get.
Well, it's been...
We would like to do summer, but there's already something that pre-exists, so we don't want to overlap that.
Got it. Okay.
Up to them.
That's still awesome.
With what already exists in the town without like hindering what already exists.
Because like everywhere around us has a farmer's market except Hamilton, and Hamilton is like the perfect little quaint town that's like the last thing.
The blueberries.
Yeah.
We don't think of the blueberries.
We have farmers and no farmer's market.
Yeah.
So...
We're a farming town with no farmer's market. We have a green market that happens like once a month for 2 months or 3 months. And that's not a farmer's market. It's really just, it's a market.
Yeah.
And
it's a craft fair. They do an awesome job, but I'd love to have something weekly.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's awesome.
So we are.
So we're throwing all of our extra time and effort into that.
What extra time and effort?
Yeah. Well, so today specifically,
dozens of minutes.
I wrote up a contract with her.
Yeah.
And we went around to every business stating that we were going to take a brunt of the parking. But if you believe in us enough, we plan on bringing enough people that the parking isn't going to matter. So
we had all the
signatures of all of the local businesses, and now we're walking tomorrow to all of the residential areas to get them to sign off on it before this market or before. This
so you have like something to show.
I love it.
City like council every or whatever. Single person is on board. Here you go.
All the tenants are on board
because the chief of police has been like, this is never going to happen.
Oh, and that come on.
It's understandable. I mean, there's always like skeptics, but I try and think of everything before it happens.
I love that. Calm down, Huckleberry Finn. Like he's like on top of it. That's an old mindset, and like and also a new. It's not a mindset that's of like small towns because like there's plenty of room, especially in small towns. There's not a lot to do for you guys to bring that to the city. It's huge for them, but they're not going to see the vision unless you present it well.
Yeah, because I love the Maker's Fest and what it does, but I'd love to bring something like that to our hometown where it's actually going to help and benefit the small businesses in our town.
Yeah.
So if we can do that on a smaller scale and do it as like a market, I think it's going to help everyone in the end. Like rising tides, all boats float. And that is what we are trying to show them and tell them. But people don't like change. It's hard.
And it's very single-minded when it comes to all of the businesses that have pre-existed, where they're like, we're in this for ourselves. And I want to, so we've brought everyone together. We just did this coin swap, it was called, where we lasered out a bunch of coins for the businesses. We designed them. They came up with their own deal. And then we sistered and matched coins from either side of the downtown area and like those businesses specifically. So that way, if you purchase a certain amount of money worth of product in our store, you get a 10% coin for a store that's on the opposite side of downtown and vice versa.
You guys do the legwork
in each other's businesses.
We've been volunteering our time and our laser time and our design time and stuff in order to like kind of bring the businesses together so we could be more of a downtown community and a team rather than people that are competing against each other.
I love this. I love it so much.
And I
can't wait to see where this goes.
I like what Carlina said. I've used that phrase many times. A rising tide raises all ships.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah. So we have a meeting with the Atlantic City Press about those coins because they caught wind of it.
Oh, nice. That's amazing. That's awesome. Get on as much news as you can. That's good. Yeah. It's always good. Nothing but good things. Pretty
cool. I never thought the AC Press, they're huge around here. So.
Oh, okay.
Air conditioning press. Yes. Yeah. That's what
Atlantic City boardwalk. I know.
Okay. The casino place.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go there to gamble.
I can already see the article that Carlina quoted. Webster's dictionary defines blueberries as, and then like you go. speaking of blueberries, where can everyone find you guys? Because you guys are amazing. And I know people are going to want to find you. Where can they find you?
Well, online.
Pine Baron Palette Works,
Sawdust Gypsy, and Makers Handmade is our new storefront. If you'd like to visit us in person, we are 312th Street, Hamilton, New Jersey. Come to our store. If you stalk us, Patrick will fight you.
I'll scrap.
He scraps. And our festival, everything is online. So if you would like to check out our festival, it is under PB Makers Fest.
PB Makers Fest or Pine Baron Events. It all goes to the same place.
Yep.
And that's going to be September 21st and 22nd of this year. Last year
That sounds hella fun. I'm going
to 11,000 people come out to
it. Whoa! You! Stop it.
Too many.
Stop it right now. 11,000?
Too many. 11,000 people come out to throughout a tiny little field in Nesco, New Jersey, which is like 10 minutes from our shop.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. All right. Okay.
Well, if you're going to come and camp, you can come and camp and hang out.
We should talk more.
Have a tiny party Saturday night.
Yeah, in between the two festivals, like the 2 days, we have a piney party.
Ooh, that actually sounds hella fun.
Have a fire.
I like partying. Is there going to be drinks?
Oh, of course.
I'm in.
If there's a fire, will it be lit?
Oh, it's going to be lit.
Okay. All right. You're selling me here.
I don't like these jokes.
Well, Emma, she's got to camp.
Well, we have a baby to share.
You can sleep in the office with the baby. We'll put a little cradle.
I'll have my people talk to your people.
Okay, I'll call her.
This is my
all right. Yeah, Emma's going to call you.
Speaking of blueberries and getting my berries blue, if you want to help us financially, You can go over to patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast and get signed up over there. We would really appreciate your patronage. Hey, I just realized how they came up with that name.
Yeah.
Awesome. Proud of you.
They're going to be our Patreon barons.
We have several tiers. You can get signed up. We offer extra content, and you could be one of the members of the Met Army, as we lovingly call it. As Pete alluded to, if you're not following Pat and Carlina over on any of the social networks, you really should. You're a fool for not. And that's all I got. Pete, are you okay?
I'm sorry. I
think he just fell out of his chair.
I adjusted and I touched the mic with my shirt. I'm sorry. I cut off your thing.
No, it's fine.
Go check out the Pineys on all their platforms and go check out their YouTube. They're trying to grow it right now. They're doing a shop tour. They're showing, I may have made an appearance in one of their future videos of like having some heavy lifting.
Got some MBD dropping.
MBD, okay. But you know, they are trying
look to sell this guy over here. He's showing up in the
out. You know, I'm everywhere, Dan.
He's
I'm
showing like, up in the Pine Barrens YouTube videos. He's showing up in Keith around. Johnson.
I'm just my whole Dan, MO move is
out of the cornfield.
Yeah. Move to New Jersey.
I'll have you know that Pete lives closer to cornfields than I do.
I'm surrounded by more corn than Dan. I'm more corn per capita than Dan.
Really?
Accurate.
Yeah.
I may live in Nebraska, but I live in a pretty big metropolitan area. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he lives on the only like hill in all of Nebraska.
Accurate.
Like, not even joking. Like there's one hill and he lives on it in Bellevue.
I was gonna say, isn't it Bellevue?
Bellevue.
That's the only thing we have in common. We got that Bellevue.
Our store's on Bellevue.
And guys,
I've seen it.
I cannot wait to give you all hugs and kisses next week. By this time next week, we're all going to be like already leaning into our second day at WorkbenchCon.
Also, speaking of next week, because we're going to be at WorkbenchCon, we are not going to have an episode.
Oh, I thought we were still going to record.
We're going to take over.
Carlina was going to take
over. Should we let somebody take over our podcast? We should do that someday, actually.
Carlina. Shocker.
Not Carlina,
We pay negative money.
She's way too excited about this takeover. I don't know about this.
Takeover.
With tiny microphones.
Can you guys just do a live while you're there, though?
Yeah, just do live.
We say we're going to do a live every time, but we never do.
Like, it doesn't have to be a very professional live.
I'm committing to we are not doing a live. This is the first year that I'm we are not doing anything. If
we say we're not going to do a live and then we end up doing one, look at what we did for you.
Yeah.
Profit.
Yeah, that's good marketing.
Yeah, under promise, over deliver, baby.
Exactly. So,
it's a whole expectation thing.
Can't wait to see you guys next week. We'll see all of you other listeners in 2 weeks. We have no guests. We're just going to do a recap.
We're going to see them.
They're watching a YouTube video. So
they'll
make sure to sign up for Patreon. Go if you're not following us or not subscribed to the podcast, subscribe and then check us out on Patreon and youtube.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast where every week we do a live and you can join us there and join the chat and have a good time with our guests or just with us and the community. It's a lot of fun. There are tens of people in there every week. That's, you know, carry the two. That's a lot. So,
it's a lot.
We are excited to see you all in person next week and the rest of you on YouTube in 2 weeks. And Pat and Carlina, thank you so much for joining us. You guys are incredible. You're such an inspiration to the community. And I cannot wait to listen back to this episode.
Thank you.
It's a long one.
It's a long one.
It's a good one.
It's going to be a great one. Well, thank you. I love you all. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for having us.
Love you. Long time.
Good night. We're going to Taco Bell.